This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
Hello.
I know it's going to be scary.
Get out of here.
The Halloween Spook Singers.
There they are. That was the a cappella version.
We only got a couple of days here to really shoot the wad.
That's true. Yes.
With all of our fabulous collection of Halloween tapes.
This is the Fright Break. Do you hear that sound?
Hear that sound?
It's the sound of a heartbeat.
Beat.
A frightened, terrified heart. Is it beating faster than your heart?
Faster.
Or slower?
Slower.
Let's see.
This heart is going to beat for another 25 seconds.
Seconds.
To allow anyone to leave this theater who is too frightened to see the end of the picture.
I'm too frightened.
Theater.
10 seconds more and we go into the house.
Theater.
It's now or never.
I just made.
Five, four. You're
William.
A brave audience.
Castle.
Two.
Yes.
One.
Theater. Oh, here they come with their orchestra. Hey, mister.
I know it's going to be scary.
It's Joey Bishop.
Ghostly things are going to happen.
Oh, that's not,
not scary enough.
Good evening, Dr. Mornay.
My dear Count, it's so good to see you again.
And you look more charming than when I saw you last.
Come in, Count Dracula.
Thank you, Sandra.
Sandra.
The name is Dr. Lejos. I wouldn't want to frighten your technical assistant.
Professor Stevens, don't worry. He's completely engrossed in his work. Besides, he should be out of here by tomorrow.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent, yes. Bela Lugosi.
That's really scary.
Scary.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Yes, scary. Ooh. Uh-huh.
But this one really is scary.
Oh, you found it.
Ready to be scared, kids? Here's Wing.
My day in the hills has come to an end. I know a star has come out to tell me it's time to go.
Oh,
But deep in the
Sound of Music, I believe.
Yes. Wing.
Scared now, kids?
What's she wearing?
I know it's going to be scary.
Going to play it to the hook?
Oh, yeah.
But she's going to get even higher.
As high as Buzz?
Not possible.
Come on, baby.
Wing.
Music. I know it's going to be scary.
Who's going to wear that costume?
You know, relatively speaking, for Wing, that's one of her better performances.
Oh, I enjoy every minute of it.
Excellent. Let's take him to the cellar. We can dispose of all the bodies at the same time.
Bodies at the same time.
Okay.
Hello!
Well, hi there. Scary.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Ow. It's going to be scary.
I know it's going to be scary.
Yeah. Wasn't that scary, huh?
Wasn't that scary?
Huh? You know what's scary? Here's the magic of Tom Curine, Burger Jeff. Listen to this. Listen to this queen giving the weather forecast today. Just listen. This is scary.
It's another frosty, cold morning here in the Washington region. Another pumpkin orange sunrise underway over the Potomac River this morning. Bright sun in a blue sky. Jefferson Memorial gleaming in this morning sunlight on the banks of the steely waters of the Potomac River.
Wow.
He's a fag. Sun soaking.
He went to a cocktail party once and somebody said to him, you really paint a picture.
Buenos dias.
Oh, hi there.
George. This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Hey, Buzz?
Yes.
It's for you.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it, Jesus style.
Let's kick it.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel?
Yeah.
Right? The ultimate CEO? Biggest celebrity of them all? Who's down with G.O.D.?
Yeah. And for many members of our audience and their members.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
You know, when you find out you got it, it's...
But glorious food.
Until you look at it.
He could show more enthusiasm. He could show more enthusiasm for that, you know, when he says I don't. And I don't.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
No, too mellow.
Yeah. All right, how should it be?
All right.
Here's the setup.
Being careful, it's very important to me. Because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
And let's call that hotline today.
Here we go.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
There we are. There's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome. Show. Welcome.
Welcome.
Funny show.
This show's gonna be funny.
So good.
Oh. So good.
Boy, I can see.
Well, here you go. That's it. That's the intro. What a letdown everything else will be from now.
Good night, everybody.
Don and Mike Show Tuesday. Phone number same as it was yesterday. Right. 877-365-3636. A couple of things I noticed here at our beautiful Don and Mike broadcast house.
And it is beautiful.
In classic Rockville, Maryland. The birds are back.
Yes. They were back last evening.
Black well, the death. Gigantic poops are back.
Mm-hmm. And Rob last evening, right before we were going to get off the air, Rob tried to use his bellow voice. What was that sound that you gave him?
Hey!
Yeah, and he scared only two of them, and two of them stayed.
Yeah.
Every year this time, we talk about these birds and the incredible dinosaur-like poop they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's happened with this building next door is it started snowing styrofoam again.
Yes. You mean they're doing... Why do they wait till, like, wintertime before they start the remodeling?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Is this a bridal suite?
I think the money...
I don't know.
I don't know.
The money went away for a while, I think.
Yeah, everybody's starting to build. That's a good sign.
I know.
That's a good sign for the economy.
But why is it the two things that we get here in our building are either the gigantic pterodactyl poop or... You go outside, and it's like God's got dandruff. It's fake snow. It's Hollywood-type snow.
Yes. Well, with the birds, Don, I can tell you, they come back every single winter.
I know it's going to be scary.
With the styrofoam insulation, they come back when the economy shows that they will be able to sell the condos.
Hi.
Come in, William Castle.
Lejos.
Ah, Dr. Lejos.
Dr. Lejos, I see you have bigger breasts.
Ah, I see that you are moving into the condo. Is that right, Sandra?
Helen Lejos McBride, where are your corduroys?
You say you wore the other ones out and you've had to purchase new ones? They are beautiful and you seem so much bigger.
Helen Lejos, let me see your scars.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm sure you will say that it was worth it, wasn't it? It was worth it to get those breasts.
Did you go through the nipple? Or underneath?
Underneath the muscle, she said.
Helen Lejos.
Yeah, isn't that weird, though? You know, seriously, on a serious note here.
Yes, please.
You notice the birds, and isn't it odd that the black birds are coming back this time of year? That they're coming back right around All Hallows Eve. I think that's scary.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I know it's going to be scary.
Hello, Don and Mike, what's up?
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. Oh. I didn't realize you were going to take my call. I was just calling to thank you guys.
This call is going to be really scary.
Scary, scared kid. Oh, you didn't realize we were going to take the call. Why did you call then?
Well, just to kind of leave you guys a quick message. I figured I was too lame to go on the air.
All right, leave us a message at the tone. Thank you.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Hi, you've reached the Don and Mike feedback line. Thanks for your listenership. At the tone, tell us your name, where you're calling from, and the last time you had a solid bowel movement. Thanks from the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Christy from Alexandria, Virginia, and I'm going right now. Actually, I was just calling to thank you guys for, I just accidentally got turned on to you guys.
If you're pleased with your message, say yes.
Yes.
To mark as urgent, press 1.
Okay, so you
in for a conversation in English, press 1. Hi, you've reached the English version of the Don and Mike Show. To speak live with any member of the Don and Mike Show family, press 2 now.
I'm sorry.
We
said press 2.
For quality purposes, this conversation may be recorded.
That's a 2. I'd love to speak to Mike.
You've reached the voicemail of me, Mike O'Mara. Mike can't come to the phone right now, but if you'd like to leave a message, simply wait for the tone, leave a brief message about what you're calling about, the time you're calling, and your last bowel movement.
Mike, I have to tell you that I've lived all over, and you are the funniest thing I've ever heard on radio. You literally kept me from going insane and killing someone on Friday. I heard you and Don, but mostly you, and just couldn't stop dying laughing. And I sat and listened to the entire show. So thank you so much.
I'm sorry. That's all the time we have for the message. Thank you for calling. To mark this message as urgent, press 1. Why did you mark it as urgent?
You guys are you're messing with me, aren't you?
Hi, this is Don's mailbox.
I've just become one of the idiots that call in and make me laugh because you two rip on them. That's awesome.
I'm glad Mike could make you happy. Please leave me a message to tell me more about how great Mike is. Bitch.
Well, he wouldn't be half as funny if he didn't have you constantly, you know, belittling him.
Don't patronize me. At the tone, please.
It really is a working relationship. It's like the classic tone.
Women. What is the problem with women? Goodbye now. Hello?
Yes. Oh,
thank you for the call.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye.
Have a nice day.
Goodbye.
You too. Bye.
You crazy guy.
You kookulas.
You guys, you're like the breakfast flakes.
Isn't that scary? Uh-huh.
Golly. Well, yeah. Mike, I know you're waiting for this. The moment has finally happened. Rob Spiewak truly pissed me off in a personal moment.
Oh, no. It's already started? I thought he'd get through at least half of this week.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, in our real life.
Yeah.
In real life?
This has nothing
He's
to
never
do...
pissed you off in real life.
Can I guess? You know what it is. You know what
no,
it is.
No, I don't now, want Mike, him to guess. I want you to tell
now,
me.
Now, Mike, you can relate to this.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to go to your softer side. Go to the side. Stop for a second.
All right.
For the side that gets gooey when you watch that movie Rudy.
Yeah.
And gooey when you see the Red Sox.
Right.
So, last night, as you know, the Packers were playing. Mm-hmm. And my God, they loaded on the schmaltz. They had Deanna Favre up in the booth. And she was talking, and they had a pre-recorded thing, and she says, he's my Brett, but he's our Favre, and they're showing pictures of them in high school, and I'm getting into this.
You're into it.
I am not weeping.
But they're preaching to the choir.
It's important.
You know, to be honest, I was one step away. I could have a bald like a faggot about this, wearing my Green Bay Packers socks.
You love Brett Favre.
I love the Packers. My entire life.
But you love Brett Favre.
Yes, I do, but not like John Madden does, Mike.
Okay, yeah, John Madden loves him
true.
More.
Right. I love
him. But he's your favorite player.
Sure he is. Sure right. he is. He's my favorite player on what happens to be my favorite team.
Right.
So I happen to find this rather touching. She's in the booth, and she's timing it out, in my opinion, rather well. She's not talking when the play is going on. Mm-hmm. She's answering questions. Like she says, I only look when he's playing. I only look at him. I don't really see what happens. In the middle of this, phone rings. I pick it up. It's Rob. And he goes, God, can they get Deanna effing Favre off the TV?
Oh,
dear. Wrong thing.
And you were digging it.
There was a moment.
You were eating it up with a spoon.
And I said, well, and I wasn't using the royal we because James was watching me. I said, we are kind of enjoying it. And he said, well, I think, and at that point, it just became white noise to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell.
It just
because he was trying to justify his opinion. Something you would normally jump on the bandwagon with.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, God, he pissed me off. And then he really realized it. He said, oh, perhaps I've called at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I think you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it was click, hang up.
Yeah. It was not good.
There's a time for hate.
You're the pleaser, and you did not please.
I tell you, I was pissed at the boy last night. I was.
You pissed him off in real life.
I did.
I was into this moment.
After 13 years, it happened.
Fantasy football be damned. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm watching, you know, you love the Red Sox. God
right.
damn it, I love the Packers. My kid is named after Bart Starr.
Yes.
Okay. I love it. I love it.
Why were they doing this big tribute?
Because he's so swell.
Like this is in advance of the game?
They did a thing before the game that they ran a teaser,
yeah.
and then they had her up in the booth.
Oh, okay.
And it was real nice, and I liked it until Big Lummox called and ruined it.
Still didn't like it that much.
Spoiled it.
I thought that, you know, they gave her a lot of time. I thought it was too much.
Oh.
But still, I can see your point.
Still, he holds
And I
opinion.
Wish that I could have put
Look
that toothpaste.
Look at his cheeks. Look
I wish I could have
him.
Put that toothpaste back in the tube.
Look at the cheeks. You've really
off.
Gotten to him.
Yeah.
He really is. He's concerned that he's upset you. Look at him. He feels every bit of it.
It was over. I mean, it was nothing.
Fleeting.
It was nothing.
Look at his eyes.
It was something.
Look how you've hurt him.
It was something. And I thought that you could hate that woman like I did.
Yeah.
I'm
and
sorry,
that is
Rob.
Your common bond. The hating, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the hating is the fun hating, not the, you know, not the real.
All the hating.
Kill them all hating.
Underneath it all.
See, normally there would be like someone like, I don't know, who do they have it? Like Rob Schneider in the booth.
Exactly.
Right.
And Rob will call me to go, God, you know, why is this guy in? But this was something that,
easy to
for whatever reason.
It
I
was
really,
Packer mania. It was your team. It
I
was
had,
the team you live and die with.
I really seriously was on the verge of man tears
mm-hmm.
when you called and wanted to be the court jester.
At least I brought you out of that. Oh, no. I saved you from the tears.
I was able to suck myself right back into it.
Attaboy.
Yeah. Don't you worry.
But I
what
wish.
What is something that the reverse could happen with? If you were watching something, what's something that
near
he might
you.
Poo-poo? Is, that you might, you know, feel the
same
way
they found Hitler's remains or something.
Perhaps if I had had something to drink.
Right.
And I was watching the last Elvis concert.
Okay.
That sometimes gets to me.
Okay, good.
If
good
he
luck.
Had done, if he had
pull.
Done that, mm-hmm. then okay. it would have been bad.
But now I'm going to give you the flip side. Because here's the flip side of having Rob as my best buddy. Tell me if you've heard this from a gal in my life before.
Okay.
Keeping in mind that mm-hmm. there are two women in my life.
Yes.
Right? Right. In my life. It was Frida
mm-hmm.
and now there's Janet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she saw this thing last night with Rob.
Yeah.
And it was no big deal. And I hung up the phone and she said, are you really mad at him? And I said, yeah, but I'll get over it. Let's just watch this and enjoy it. Well, today... I don't know what time it was. It was, I guess, around noontime, around lunchtime. We just got done with lunch. Janet was running in a million different directions and trying to get a lot of stuff done. And the phone rang, and it was Rob.
Hmm.
Now, as it turns out, he was telling me something about work.
Right.
But here's what I heard from her after we had our conversation.
And, you know, she was going 100 miles an hour. I didn't even understand what she said to me when she handed you the phone. I said, hey, what's up? You know, make some conversation. And I just heard, zabazidadabazadada, and then you picked up the phone.
Yeah,
so.
She said something to you like, I'm having a hell of a day here, Rob. And I picked up the phone and talked to Rob and got down with my business and hung up the phone. And she said to me, why is it every time he calls, you are so excited and happy?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
She doesn't understand it yet?
I get that too, you know.
I said, you know, the other grand lady of the house wondered the same
thing.
And then I even said to Jan, I said, last night he pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
She said, yes, that's right. But today, look at you. You see it's him on caller ID, and right away it's like, hello, Rob.
Yeah, you turn around. It's forgot. All is forgotten.
Sure.
I do apologize for my miscue last night.
No big.
And shan't happen again.
Were you poo-pooing the emotion of the moment?
I was.
I hate too far.
And you know what?
I hate too far by Rob Spiewak.
I tuned in late, so I didn't see the opening pageantry.
Never mind. Shut up.
Now, don't do that.
You can't see
That's
it.
A lie. Now you're lying.
You what, that I missed it?
No, you wouldn't have reacted positively if you'd seen the pageantry.
I never said that I would have reacted one way or another. I just said I didn't see it.
You're just like that lady. You're just patronizing me. Now just step away, please.
And, Mike, really, you are funny.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Give me a dig now. Give me a dig. Try to deflect something off those red cheeks just for a second.
Because I'm the only one who does that in here, tries to deflect sometimes.
Well, deflect that.
I can't. But I do appreciate
it. I think it's very obnoxious that you called him, Rob, and did that. I think that's very bad that you did that.
You're right.
No, I'm not going to make it worse. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
And also, it just, you know, it's Jack. Yeah, tell you something, Jackson. It's the other sex. It's the fairer sex that sometimes makes you want to pull what remaining hair you have left in your head. Mm. Just pull it right out.
I really have something to say to both of you. Right. I think, you know, really, with all the hating that's done, you know, on the phone. I mean, don't you think it would be less exhausting just to love more?
Shut up.
Just to love a little bit more?
Mike, I think you know how hard it is to love.
Your divorce attorney's on the phone talking a little about love, Mike.
You don't wait. Why wait? No waiting. No waiting. Go right to the D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
No, I'm just talking about how incredibly...
You know why you felt so good about that and why he ruined it for you, why he just destroyed it for you.
Are you talking about the Favre thing?
Yes. You know why?
Why?
Because you were enjoying a moment of pure love.
Well, that's true.
That's what it was.
And he hates pure love.
That's right.
Unless it's the History Channel.
He sensed it and called.
Then he loves that.
While you were there having your moment of love with the woman in your life, and I'm sitting there watching it with Carrie, and I needed to speak to somebody.
How does Carrie react when you have, like, the Elvis thing on?
Oh, she goes away. She always goes away.
So she doesn't share any of that with you?
No, she doesn't care.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't care.
And she doesn't look over at you and go, hey, this is kind of cool that you're reacting like this.
No, she doesn't care.
All right.
She's upstairs doing something else. Something to undo something I've already done. I assemble, she disassembles. I earn and she spends.
You fix, she breaks?
Yes. I straighten and she really, really doesn't ever straighten. And she just does things and I take care of them. Like butting heads. Yang and yang. Salt and pepper, positive and negative.
I like these chats once in a while.
About Carrie?
Yeah, just about you. No, it's about you. Just a window into your soul.
She doesn't care.
Good for you.
Doesn't care.
Doesn't care at all.
No.
You straighten and you straighten and you straighten and she doesn't care.
No. And you know what she does? She leaves the cabinets open.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is there anything lazier in the world not taking the time to close a kitchen cabinet?
Is this fresh?
To his world.
Is this fresh?
It's fresh, and it's old, and it's new.
But it's like recently.
It's ongoing.
Closet doors, too?
Closet doors, sure.
Yeah, me too.
Car doors, too. Here's one. Here's a little one, because I can relate to this one, too. Does she ever have trouble really getting the car doors shut? Does she ever not close them with enough gusto?
No, she always does that.
Oh, good, okay.
But a lot of times she leaves the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
Changed a lot of batteries in my day, Jack.
Right.
Well, she forgets.
I'm not ready to jump into the deep end of this pool like you are, Rob. I like to stay at the end with the floaties on.
No, that's fine. But perhaps last night I just needed someone to talk to.
Well, I'm sorry that...
And when I see a bride on television, I say, hey, there's part of the problem. Maybe she's fighting breast cancer,
see,
he's
really
still
hurt.
Part of the problem.
He's really hurt is what it is.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Lesson learned.
That makes me happy.
But you know what?
He's hurt.
He ruined,
it makes me
he
happy.
He ruined a nice moment for me last night.
Okay.
He
all
truly
right.
did.
But the Favre hurt that Don feels, that's just the scab on a broken leg. Because the big hurt is me and Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
The scabs heal.
I can tell by everything you're saying that that's the big hurt.
Sure.
Big hurt. It's like Frank Thomas with the Chicago White Sox, the big hurt.
I don't know. I don't follow sports.
Toronto Blue Jays now.
Please. But anyway, if Carrie would just straighten occasionally and maybe, you know, take a moment and do something in the closet. Remember, we've spoken about the closet before.
Yeah.
She's been working on it. since September.
He's really needing to vent this, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm just sitting here letting it
gotta
roll.
Got to let him roll with it a little bit. Anything else?
Well, she's taken a job.
Oh, really?
Yes, she has.
Oh.
And, you know, she felt it would be good, I guess what, to get out of the house. Do something.
He finds a way to fill that cup up halfway always, doesn't he?
There is an underlying rage
that I'm tapping
into right here.
Double K time. King Kong time.
Yes, big time. Big time.
Kong City, Kongville.
And yet, with her out of the house, somehow the house has gotten straighter. What causes that?
How many cabinets have you ever stumbled upon that were open? Like, is there any world record? Because I would just love to have a videotape of your face when that happens.
At one time or grand total?
Just like one time walking into the kitchen, say you see four open.
I would say two cabinets in the pantry.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Wouldn't you think? But isn't that too many?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What happens when you open a cabinet? Mm-hmm. You should close it. Take out your cup.
Get what you need.
Take out your saucer.
Close the door. Uh-huh.
And close the door.
It's that simple.
Sure. You close a door. You turn a light on. You turn a light off.
Okay. Wow. That's right.
But she's very busy, Don.
How many years married now?
Oh, God, like a million.
11.
11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 11 happy years.
Every day. Well.
Well.
Every day of 11 years.
Right.
Every single day.
All right. Forget the Brett Favre thing. Never mind.
See, you made it right.
I forget what turmoil you're in every day.
It's bad, Don. It's very bad.
I know. It's very bad.
Someday you must come over.
Was there ever a time when...
The cabinets were closed?
Yeah.
No.
There was never a time in her life where she was keeping cabinets closed to please you.
So there was no buyer's remorse on your part. You didn't get sold a lemon. You knew that you got... A woman that didn't close cabinets.
You know, it's hard to say. 11 years is a long time.
But you think she left cabinets closed when you were living in sin?
That's a nice way to put it. Yeah, probably. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
We have a smaller place, not as many cabinets.
You didn't care then because you're getting sex then, too.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That is true. And also, you know, your eye on the prize. The marriage is ahead of you, the family.
Right.
And now all that's done.
Would there be anything besides?
There'll be no more children.
Would there be anything besides cabinets and closets and straightening that would be...
She loves stacking papers.
Stacking papers. Please explain.
What's the problem there?
Do you have a thing on your desk that's like three tiers and you put things in it like bills and stuff?
Oh, like the plastic thing.
Yeah, right. Like an organizer.
Okay.
Badly chosen for her, but an organizer is what it's called when you go to Staples. Mm-hmm. And she'll keep putting stuff on the top, and eventually they don't stack because there's bound matter, there's stapled things, there's folded things.
Bound matter.
And so it stacks
junk
up.
Junk mail ever included in that?
Always. Never open. Yeah, just kept. Just kept. Thousands of receipts for price adjustments and things that will never happen, and it stacks and it stacks and it stacks and it stacks, and then it's about, you know, a foot and a half tall and tilted at my desk.
Right.
And so I come down in the morning, and I... look at it, and it just pisses me off. Because you know what's going to happen? It's going to fall.
So she doesn't throw the junk mail away before she stacks?
No.
She'll just take the mail that you get out of your mailbox and stack it?
Sometimes she spreads it out on the dining room table. Yeah. Just a thin layer. Uh-huh. Rendering the table useless.
Exactly.
Why have a tablecloth? We have 8,000 things from BB&T to cover our table. Mm-hmm. Nice, thick letters.
That's the bank for those of you that might not have one in your backyard.
And they love sending stuff out. And she's, you know, she's just not tidy.
And it kills you. It
bothers me.
It kills you because you are a very organized person.
And there are times I'll go 5-6 days without touching anything.
Right.
Play the game.
Will she
do it?
Uh-huh.
She never does.
Do you mention this to her?
I have.
In the love shack.
I have.
How does that go?
Not well. There's several ways it's received.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's, okay. Sometimes it's not even that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not even that. Oh, and she's a big thing for putting stuff on the kitchen counter, too.
Yes.
Now, the kitchen counter has got a sink dead center, right?
Right.
And to the left is like the toaster and the mixer and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But to the right is sort of just an open area.
Right.
I hope there's no guy like driving to his... Like is the night before dinner right now.
Rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, because he's probably
going the other way, sir.
Going the other way right now.
Go the other way.
Talk about painting a beautiful picture, Rob.
Please to walk us through the process involved with grocery shopping when both of you go to the grocery store. Does that ever happen?
We have in the past shopped together, but with kids, as you can imagine.
It's tough.
Somebody walks.
We used to.
Okay, so that doesn't happen anymore.
I will, on the way home, usually buy what I need.
When she
beer
comes,
and ice cream.
When she comes home from the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
are you satisfied with the process?
Choices?
The choices, prices, the choices.
She's a great shopper.
The way she puts stuff away?
Not good at putting stuff away. For example.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
All right.
Just had to overhaul the pantry this weekend. Came down, doors were open, looked at it. I said, that's a flipping disaster. The kids, we have to provide snacks for the kids' class.
You don't alphabetize your breakfast cereals, do you?
No. Okay. No, now right, you're good. Just being silly.
I know, I'm just being silly.
But they're all together on the top shelf.
Mm-hmm. Do you do them by manufacturer?
Yes, General Mills.
Post.
No, I just put them together. We only keep about three or four.
So I got you.
Alphabetizing is pointless.
And the organization of the refrigerator is to your satisfaction?
It's fine. Usually pretty empty.
Okay.
So there's not much to do. I mean, vegetables in the drawer, milk in the drawer. I mean, it's pretty easy.
How about laundry?
Oh,
you don't want to go.
Boy,
really?
He stepped away from the microphone.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he stepped away from the microphone when I said.
He's got some issues with laundry.
Laundry's a problem.
A lot of times, if you need an item of clothing, look what I call in the seventh drawer, which is our dryer.
The seventh drawer.
Because once you wash and dry clothes,
right,
it's done.
That's it. Your job.
They're
is
in the dryer. Sure. They're there if you need them. They might be warm if they've just been dried. They might have been cold if it's been there 3 days. But if you don't see it, it's probably in the dryer.
So stacking and folding, not exactly job one.
Wow.
Well, sometimes they will make it from the dryer into the basket.
Mm-hmm.
The basket to the floor. Mm-hmm. Floor to the other floor in our bedroom, and there you'll look at it for 5 days.
Drawer number eight.
That's right. And you just stare at it, and you wonder.
Right.
How long would it have to sit there before she finished the job?
I don't know, Rob.
And I've gone 5 days before.
Right.
And then I just can't do it.
Right. So you don't say anything. You just let it stay there because you know it.
Sometimes.
What do you do if you get a feeling that someone who you really care about, a good buddy of yours, is really killing himself?
Mm-hmm.
I get the feeling.
You want to have an intervention?
I say, Bill, I believe this is killing me.
I believe this is more of an onslaught than we've ever heard before.
Is there any way she's going to get wind of this? She'll hear this.
She might. She has heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time to pick Robert up at school, so she might be in the car now. She's usually smart enough not to listen.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, Rob.
Very good, Rob.
But anyway, yeah, the laundry, I solved that this weekend.
Right.
I got all the kids' clothes.
Yeah.
And I dumped them on the floor, and I said, kids, find your clothes and put them away. This is really crazy nuts parenting, but it worked.
Now he's got five and seven?
Yeah.
So the mixture of their clothes.
They share a hamper.
They share a hamper, and it was clean.
Yeah.
And you mixed their clothes, and you said
I washed, I dried, I dumped.
Right.
I said, find them and put them away.
Sort them out.
They thought it was a game. They had a blast with it.
Sure. How'd the 5-year-old do with putting his stuff away?
Loves it.
Good.
Loves it. He did good. He hardly cried.
He hardly cried. Well, Halloween's right around the corner.
Yes, and they're excited. Yeah. Robert hasn't yet selected his costume.
Oh, really?
But I think he's going to be Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Julia will be like some sort of a vampira type deal.
And what will you be?
I will be at home.
Miserable. Okay.
I carved my jack-o'-lanterns last night.
Oh, I know you were looking forward to that.
That was terrific.
All right.
She sent Robert to bed before we could carve the jack-o'-lanterns because she didn't have the chance to get him to have a nap during the day, so he was tired.
I'm sure you were happy about that.
Oh, it's great when you get home and one of your children is laying on the floor in an Obi-Wan Ben Kenobi costume crying. How was your day? I'll be upstairs with your mother.
Oh my.
It's about planning ahead.
Oh, my, right. Rob.
Oh, so L-I-G.
And that means?
Life is good.
All is well.
A-I-W-J.
Okay.
That's
good.
Right.
I'm glad you got a chance to purge, Rob.
Yeah, thank you. These clothes are all clean, by the way.
That's good.
They look nice.
Fresh out of the dryer.
We should talk.
The seventh drawer.
No wonder I got that call.
Yeah, he needs to vent to you. He uses you to get that off his chest.
You know, I never thought I'd say this. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, buddy.
See?
It was unfortunate that it
I'm
happened.
Sorry. I forgot.
And I'm sorry that I called.
You forgot about his day-to-day drudgery.
Yeah.
See how he turned it around there?
I forgot.
Yeah. The Drudge Report is not a website with some nerdy journalist.
No,
it's
you just heard it.
It's Rob. It's Rob's life.
But you still love her, right?
Like crazy.
See? Like crazy. So, Carrie, if you're listening, he still loves you.
Oh, yeah.
Like crazy.
And now he's coming to the microphone again.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I couldn't imagine doing it without her.
There you go.
She makes me nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure I make her nuts.
That's a wonderful professional.
I find
love,
that impossible to believe.
You do?
I find that impossible
Hold
to
on,
believe.
Hold on, my phone's ringing.
Is it really?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's my wife.
All right.
There we go. This is exciting.
She says for Halloween I could be husband of the year. All right, I love you.
Think about it.
Listen to him now.
Yeah. Oh,
correct that.
Did she hang up?
She hung up on you.
Did she hang up on you?
This better be a bit.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And it is.
And one of your best.
What a great bit.
Thank you.
Great bit, Robbie.
The writers did really well on it.
That was a really good sketch about married life.
Uh-huh. What a great bit. Well, I admire you, Rob. You're hanging tough. Stay in that thing longer than I would. That's for sure. Of course, I don't stay in.
Well,
I don't stay in any of them.
You have such an elegant way of putting
You've
it.
You've proven that. It,
stay in that thing.
Stay in that thing longer than I would.
I admire all you guys that stay married. I really do. I do. I admire you. I mean, it's a, you know what? It's a job.
Uh-huh.
It's a tough job, and you got to work at it. You know, and some of us have more better work ethics than others. And I don't think I'll say anything more.
Get her done.
Get her done. Oh, it's admirable. Everybody knows that. Anybody that's been married a long time knows that.
Yeah.
All right, let's cut on the Rob bit. 3, 2, 1, cut.
Great job, guys.
Credit.
Beautiful sketch.
Good job.
Want to thank the writers for that.
Good job for Best Of. We'll rerun that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice sketch.
Put that one in the can. Print it. And take it upstairs.
Ah, you poor bastard.
To the fat man.
You know, that's where I'm like a babe in the woods, this whole thing with
yeah,
Janet.
You are.
I mean, you know, goddamn. Sometimes I don't know where I am. We had not a fight today, but part of this whole thing with Rob, they're calling, when she said, you know, you're so excited to see Rob. For some reason, and I know that she will grow out of it, although Frieda never did, Janet seems to think that the thought of being with me and sitting with me and talking to me is an exciting prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep telling her, like I told Frieda, and I tell everybody, it's all a buildup. It's a charade. You're looking at a Hollywood set. Mm-hmm. You think, wow, here's an in-depth guy that I can sit down and talk with about. No, I'm an idiot. I'm a loser. I'm a schmuck. You don't want to come down and talk to me. There's nothing magical about talking to me. If you want to talk to me, well, be like everybody else in my life that figures out I'm a schmuck. Just come on down and stick your head in the room and say, hey, dumbass, mute the television. I need to talk to you.
Right.
But she's got this weird thing, and I'm not complaining about it.
No, I understand.
She was like, we had not a fight today. I would say it was a mini fight.
Animated discussion?
Oh, about 9:30, she said, I've got to get myself together. I got an appointment today. I got a doctor thing today. I got to get out of here. I said, okay. She went upstairs to get cleaned up, 9:25. About 11:15, she comes down, and she looked distraught. She looked like she was crying. And I said, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And she said, nothing. It's me. And right there is where I made the mistake.
Yeah, no.
You took the bait. Right. A seasoned veteran would have said, okay, well, you have a great day, sweetheart. Mwah, I love you. No. You know what I did? Went and said, tell Big Daddy what's going on.
What's wrong?
And I got the whole shaking the head and like.
Yeah. That's what she wanted, though.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, I'm late for an appointment. I'm late. I was going to do this then. I was going to do this now. And I wanted to talk to you today. And it was busy. And we got up late. And the dogs there. And I wanted to talk to you. But you were busy. I didn't want to talk to you. I'm like, look at her going, you want to talk to me? Do you know how overrated that is? Do you know how overrated the thought? And I'm me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The thought of sitting down with me.
And you think so.
Yes, sometimes I want to crawl out of my own skin
because
I can't stand being with myself.
Look what good has come out of this with you and Rob. Both of you are purging.
Uh-huh.
You're both purging your demons today, and that's helpful. I mean, we know you do it on a regular basis, but now both of you have done that, and doesn't that make you feel closer that you've both been able to purge today?
Well, it just so happened that Janet and I had that conversation today. It just so happened that, well, Rob every day is mad at Carrie about the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? You want to join in?
I do. I have to tell you that last night I got done eating dinner, and the rerun of House came on at 8 o'clock, which is early for House. Mm-hmm. And I turned it on, and Carla wanted to say something to me. And I went to hit the pause button on the TiVo, and I realized we've got the regular box there, and I didn't know where the – for a moment, I missed it. And so finally I muted it, and I said, what? Because the dialogue had started on House, and you know how at the beginning of House, right. If you haven't seen it, you have to watch that. And then
crucial
the comment was made to me that I just wanted to talk. We never just talk, huh. was the comment made. Talk and then I looked at her and I gave her
somebody put something in the water yesterday? I am serious.
No, she was unhappy all the way through bedtime last night and into this morning as well. When I was making when I called you today and I was making some travel plans and trying to get things organized for the holidays.
Tell her the same thing I tell Jan. I'd say it about you too. Highly overrated.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sit down with Mike? Highly overrated.
Well, what happened was after this.
And I hope you can take that.
She stormed. Oh, of course
I can. With the spirit, sure. Which it's given.
Well, do you know what we're all like, probably? We do this for a living, and when we come home, the idea of silence sitting in front of a magic box is not an unappealing one to
Wonderful.
Us. It really isn't. So she went upstairs. This is down in the kitchen. She goes upstairs, and then there was a great deal of silence, and you know, a lot of the apologizing back and forth. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. Because at the beginning, I'm very forthcoming with saying to her, that's so female that you wish to talk when there's something on the box that's being said.
Here again.
There's no, and I suppose you can call me a sexist pig for this, but I do say there is no inherent value, it seems to me, to the majority of women when the magic box is giving us its vital information. When the magic box is in the bottom of the eighth inning with two men on and two outs in a close game, there's no value to that. There because talking can come at any time.
Uh-huh.
And I look at it the same way. I would almost wish that television programs would come on with a disclaimer that's similar to what you would see in the movie theater. You know, now the commercials are over. Please, for the benefit of those in the kitchen with you, no talking, please.
I feel the need. I'm sorry, Mike, to distance myself a little bit from you right now.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I just want to say my only...
Thanks, pal.
My only complaint was that my girlfriend just wants to spend more time with me.
Yeah,
and it's not that I don't want to spend time with her. It's just I think she'll find, as we go through life, it's an incredible letdown to want to just spend time with me.
Not a bad
That's
complaint.
All.
Well, now
I don't have real complaints.
Well, now I have to qualify what I'm saying is I enjoy doing nothing at all with Carla. I like Carla being in the same room. I like her being there. We have a great time together. The talking part of...
Don't ever say that to her. You know why?
I have said it to her.
Don't. You know why?
But I really do.
You know what, hold on. You know what she's going to say to you?
What?
Eventually, it's going to come back to this. Oh, so you like being in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You like being around.
Yes.
You like maybe to pat my hand sometimes or watching TV.
Well, even hold hands.
Well, that's nice.
Even massage each other's hands a little bit.
Well, then I'm like your dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right.
There's a danger there.
I hope I never had that happen.
So many pitfalls.
But, you know, I'll go to my pat answer if the complaining gets to be too much.
But you mean I understand?
No. No. That wasn't in the script. That was an ad lib. Damn it! You're not supposed to put that in the. No, the one where it's always when you're out the door, when you're at the door or 1 foot out of it or on the way out. You know, you get some rest. That's the standard line. You get some rest.
No, is that you to her or her to you?
That's me to her.
You to her.
Right. No, you know, it was just maybe it was in the. Yeah, it's a Monday night. It's the blahs, beginning of the week, and it was just one of those situations. And then I tried to facilitate a little conversation when No Reservations was on. You know, as I'm watching that, my new favorite show, and it was that's Anthony Bourdain. No Reservations, where he went to Hong Kong last night. It was fantastic.
You know, relatively
and you can talk during that show.
We had no problems. I mean, we as a couple, we watched the game last night.
That's great.
Enjoyed it together.
Yeah, look at the advantage you have right there. Listen to what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Shared the moment
we
together.
We watched the game last night.
Break it down.
I mean, you're ahead of the curve right there. Mm-hmm. We watched the game last night. I mean, that's great. You and I both should be very thankful that we have women that watch sporting events with us. That is a very, very good thing. But there's the one universal. This is from my mother. God rest her. I mean, she's not dead yet, so I shouldn't say God rest her soul. My father's dead. I get them confused sometimes. My mom, in fact, Carla and I do an impression of my mom when the Red Sox game was at a crucial moment, and my mom would do this. And it was the move where she'd come walking in. We had a tiny little room that we watched TV in, and she would somehow, at a crucial moment, managed to be in front of the television. Whether it was picking something up, whether it was bringing food in.
And you want to talk about the ultimate sexist move is when your mother is bringing food in for you and the rest of the family, and she gets it double-barreled because it's a crucial moment in the game. What are you doing? What are you doing? We don't put it on our lap. We don't need a TV tray.
Oh, it's tough. Uh-huh. You know, Don, it's tough being a woman. That's for the record.
Many athletes are great, but very few make the needle move. Very few cause you to sit in front of the TV for hours just because you don't want to miss what they do and the way that they do it.
Where's the part with her, not with Kornheiser? It's in there?
We watched Tiger Woods on Sunday in red because every shot he takes carries with it the possibility of something so great that you would hate yourself.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Come on.
That you would hate yourself.
Where's the NFR?
The fist pumps that followed it.
I wasn't crying during this part.
Michael Jordan in that same way because every time he held the ball in his
Come on, Kornheiser.
Delivers something unforgettable. Like that jump shot over Craig Elo. Or all those times when
Jordan the music.
Gracefully
See the music.
How can you not cry?
It's the same with Favre, who at 38 now qualifies as an actual living legend. Nobody.
Now listen, I'm going to tell you the moment when it almost got me.
Okay, good.
She looks at the camera and she says, he's my Brett, but he's our Favre.
Is this his wife or his mother?
His wife.
Okay.
Not even Peyton Manning or Tom Brady brings the flair that Favre does. Nobody shows more enthusiasm. He doesn't make all the crazy throws that he tries, but he'll keep trying them no matter how many times they're picked off because nothing ever discourages him. He always thinks that the next one is going for six. And that's why we give him a hall pass.
Always. Hall pass.
Robin,
always.
I didn't want Tony Kornheiser's monologue. For goodness sakes.
Yes, for all those ridiculous interceptions. Because Brett Favre will keep slinging. And the next pass, he might fit through the eye of a needle and then jump into someone's arms like a teenager. Look, you don't just get to what.
It sounds like Rob introducing porch setting.
Jesus Christ, where's
porch
Deanna,
setting.
Deanna Favre?
We are thrilled to be joined by Brett Favre's wife, Deanna, here in the booth.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Author, Deanna Favre's book, as you see here, Don't Bet Against Me. It's a lot of her story about...
You don't have the big thing that they did at the opening where she's looking and she's showing the pictures of them in high school together and then...
I just felt the Kornheiser
thing. Oh, dear. Oh, no.
You know,
that's
why?
A 1-2 punch.
Right, because Tony Kornheiser is so goddamn emotional. Tony Kornheiser could have been reading a teleprompter about Bagel City. For God's sakes, with the emotion
they
he
always
has there.
Have. They always have the best bagels. Always. Of all time.
Forget it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi there.
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
I think those three are in more dire need of a moniker than any white man I've ever seen.
Oh, I wouldn't limit it to three, sir.
All of us.
Yeah, I love it when they throw the the little white man thing in there. You know, I mean, can't this cut across all racial lines?
I can.
Can't men who are in distress at home, does that have to be any particular race?
No.
I don't
Hi, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Radio Yahwehs.
Hi there.
Rob.
Yeah.
I know.
He's sitting down. What?
I know that the option is not worth half of your wage. But I would encourage you to be a little more positive because I've been listening to you for a number of years now. And more troubling than that, I've actually seen you.
Oh, my.
And you should be grateful that there's actually a biped in this universe that doesn't vomit and flee on sight.
Oh, that's my right.
God.
What are you saying? What? What hostility?
Now, that's really, you're kicking me when I'm down.
You really are. Well, that's what our listeners do best.
I have seen her vomit, and I know she has tried to flee. But when she tried to flee, it was on all fours. So does she really qualify as a biped?
Wow. Bravo. Don and Mike.
Tied it all together.
Oh, that's good.
Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I just wanted to say, I think you guys have stated that you like Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, I think we do, right? I know I do.
Yeah, he's nice.
Well, you probably won't care, but I mean, he is ruining Sunday Night Football for me.
I like it when people say it like it, R-O-O-N.
He's ruining. No, no.
He's ruining it for you?
I said ruining it. He is ruining it.
Why is he ruining it for you?
Because he sucks. Like, I just wish you'd shut the hell up and go away, frankly.
Not
he
only that,
sucks.
Wow. He also leaves cabinet doors open all the time.
And I hear he doesn't fold his laundry properly.
Well, I guess people have strong feelings about Corny.
Everybody's different.
I like Tony Kornheiser.
Most people do.
I like him. The one thing I don't figure out here. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hold on. About Monday Night Football. You know, they have a Mike Wilbon there, and they have Tony Kornheiser there in the
stadium. So they can do PTI from the stadium where they're broadcasting.
They take Kornheiser away for the last 2 minutes of the game so that he can go somewhere where Michael Wilbon is not, so that 10 minutes later they can do a two-minute junk filler PTI Monday Night Football.
Does Wilbon travel?
Yeah.
So Wilbon goes to the games, too?
I don't know why Michael Wilbon just doesn't come up to the booth and they just sit there. It's obvious they're in different parts of the stadium.
Right.
They're split screen. They got the headset on. And he misses the last 2 minutes of the first half every week to go prepare for this smorgasbord of ass.
Seems like they're overdoing that a little bit.
A little bit. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Rob, are you still purchasing ice cubes on a daily basis for your family?
Oh, no, we fixed that.
Oh, you have an ice maker now?
Yes, I use ice every day.
Okay, good. He doesn't have to use the party ice anymore.
Thanks for the update.
All right, goodbye. All right,
people care about these things.
Goodbye, get out
of
here.
Only took 8 weeks.
Oh, that last night I almost made. I swear to God, when he threw that pass. Did you see that?
I didn't see any of Monday Night Football last night.
Goes to overtime. First off, Elam, that guy for the Broncos, done it like 5 times this year. 1 second left. Field goal. Ties the game.
Right.
Packers get the ball back. One play. 80-yard pass.
Really?
Boom. Game over.
In overtime.
Boom.
Oh, wow.
Boom.
I didn't even see the highlight.
I didn't even.
Oh, my God. You're a Packer maniac today.
Mm-hmm. 6-1, baby.
Way to go.
6-1. Don't even care. I didn't win in our league, our fantasy game.
Right.
Favre had a lot of points. I didn't win. I don't care. I'm happy.
Sure.
It's great. Packers win.
You know
what
how much
an exciting
money,
finish.
Do you know how much money I spent today?
On what?
$600.
Oh, on your Red Sox stuff.
$600.
Wow.
I'm gonna have stuff for every day.
I'm gonna
have stuff for every day.
Three t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly, Rob. It's 3 t-shirts.
We got a break because I believe Jim Nance has how many minutes for us?
I asked for 10 and we received 10.
He has exactly 10 minutes because he is so busy, the most put-upon woman in broadcasting.
Can't wait to chat.
What, with Super Bowl 42 and a half coming up this weekend.
42 and a half.
Jim's very excited. Hey, guys.
Guys, let's listen. I love the London idea.
Guys.
Need to talk to you, but not more than 10 minutes.
Rob.
Here on CBS.
Rob, it's Jim Nance. I want to get you and Carrie into a prayer group. Missy and I. Join hands,
Missy
everyone.
Nance.
Missy Nance and I.
Madge Nance and I are looking forward to having the discussion about leaving cabinet doors open, not folding laundry properly.
And what marriage vows truly mean.
That'll be good, Jim. Will you pray on that?
Do you promise to have and to hold, to straighten and close cabinet doors?
Jim, I know it's a little chilly outside. Could we do this meeting outside?
That's very dangerous to
guys,
the fans.
Guys, I'm worried about those New England fans, guys, at cold weather, guys.
Here on America's number one network.
I want to say hi to my dad at that old folks' home. He's still in a FEMA shelter down in Houston.
That's right, Herschel Nance.
I can tell you, you know what they call the Spiewak marriage?
What?
A tradition unlike any other.
Loveless. Loveless, a marriage out of convenience.
But kudos to Don, Mike, Rob, and Buzz for another fabulous sketch.
All right, as we go to break, everybody, it's the Breakfast Flakes. I'm Shoot.
And I'm Liver.
And I'm Weed.
I'm Kid Hitler.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Here's the Don and Mike Show.
I know it's going to be scary.
Oh, it's just fun. Every year, it's just fun. Last Halloween, I came as Janet Jackson's boob. It was topical. People got a big kick out of it. The year before that, I came as Monica Lewinsky. And I wore a stained dress. The year before that, I also came as Monica Lewinsky. And before that, I was OJ. It was pretty funny.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time. The Don and Mike Show.
A tradition unlike any other. The Don and Mike Show.
Wasn't that scary, huh?
Oh, wasn't that scary? Huh?
Huh? All right, well, James Nance.
Yes.
James Tiberian Nance.
Our very good friend from CBS Sports.
The most powerful woman in TV sports is on a conference call. She will call us momentarily.
She's always very busy.
Very good.
Tomorrow on the show, a yearly tradition returns. Joe Ardinger and Trick or Beer.
Yeah. Has his costume already done?
What's he going to be, Mike?
He's going to be a tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Not as elaborate as some of his previous costumes. He's going to be a tiger with the face hole cut out, I believe.
But he wanted that.
He Joe, wanted to be. I'm not sure why he wanted to be a tiger. I didn't ask him about it.
Joe, why do you want to be a tiger this year?
Why a tiger?
It just seems fun.
Seems fun.
Will you be doing any type of tiger-related accents?
Growl. Grr.
Okay. So the tiger, but there was no reason why.
Comfort? You like tigers?
What? I just thought it would be fun to wear a tiger suit with a tail.
Uh-huh. You know where the Bengal tiger is native? There's been British settlements there.
Oh, no. Don't get into his British accent.
Just a thought.
Joe?
Yes, Don.
Come on.
Don't expect him to pick up cues.
Come on, do it, Joe. Do your British accent.
Hello, I'm a tiger. Trick or beer?
I would like that.
How about that?
We turn his microphone off. I remember a couple of years ago, didn't we also have him walk around with a lobster on a leash?
Now, that was a crazy DJ stunt from the prep service, remember? That was not a Halloween costume.
I think he should still have the lobster on a leash and speak with a British accent.
Then he'd need a monocle, too.
Love the lobster.
Now, will the tiger suit have the face hole cut out, or
yes.
Is it a, it's not a tiger head on top of the furry body?
No, but he has ears, I think.
Oh, good. Good.
Is it like one of those Ralphie suits from A Christmas Story?
I believe that's what they're shooting for, yeah. I don't know if it's like just a face hole. It might be a tiger suit and then a headpiece for ears.
I guess we're not asking Joe. Does he have it yet? Does he have the...
I don't know. Joe?
Yes, Don?
Joe, do you have the tiger suit yet?
No.
Have you seen it yet?
No.
You know what you might want to get, Joe, is some makeup.
Well, that's the thing. You see, it's the tiger suit, and then I'm going to put on some orange paint and some ears.
Ah.
This would be a good time to thank Wenda for preparing your tiger suit.
Oh, Wenda's still doing that for
She's
us?
She's come into part-time at the Annandale
wonderful.
Masters costume.
Very good.
Put this costume together for Joe.
Thank
That's
you,
why
Wenda.
I'm not sweating it.
That's good.
Master's
good
costume.
Thing.
All right, well, Joe,
you'll
be up for your performance, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All
Very
right.
Good.
Thank you, Joe. I'm requesting the British accent and a lobster on a leash.
What, with the tiger suit?
Yeah.
No, because I have to pull the cooler behind
that
me.
Spoils the motif.
Well, and I guess if you're...
I'm not going to drag the poor lobster around. I'm the animal lover of the Don and Mike Show.
So you will have a cooler, an empty cooler, and you will accept beer, wine coolers, various sundry food items.
And pharmaceuticals.
Right. Have you secured the cooler on wheels?
Guess what? Even better.
Guess what?
What?
I have no cooler with wheels this year, so I've got this gigantic cooler I'm just going to drag.
No! Oh, even better.
So it's going to be louder and more obnoxious than ever before.
That's using your small brain.
That's wonderful, Joe.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Mike, I know this is your favorite bit of mine.
I love this
you
bit.
You enjoy this every year.
I do. I love
Hi,
this one.
Hi, Joe!
Of all of Joe's bits.
I love this one more than any other.
Bits, my many bits. My many money metal bits.
It's a tradition unlike any other. I truly
Bye,
enjoy
Joe.
It.
I love it.
I
Goodbye.
Do.
Goodbye.
So that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Today, while we wait for one great gym, let's call another one. It's my Earth Dog brother's birthday today.
Oh, wonderful.
Thinking about him today. Wondering how he was doing.
Buzz, you're so thoughtful. Did you know it was his birthday?
No, I didn't. It just occurred to me. We hadn't heard from him, and I wondered how he was.
Would you see a report on the news from some guy in Wisconsin going ape-ass?
No, nothing like that.
It's hunting season, too.
Hello.
Hey, faggot.
Hey, homo.
Hey, it's me. It's me, your brother. Is today your birthday?
Yes, it is.
Nailed it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jimmy.
Homo,
happy birthday
happy
to
homo
you.
To you.
You get anything cool for your birthday?
A battery charger with rechargeable batteries.
Always good.
That's wonderful.
For the boat.
James, how old are you? I'm going to guess, you know, brothers are not good with this. I'm going to guess you're 47 today?
Yeah.
47 years young.
That's too funny.
Yeah, how old are you again? Are you 56, 54?
Yeah. I'm 49.
Oh, okay.
You got anything special planned for your birthday?
We went to Old World. Me and Marnie both took a day off of work, and we went to Old World, Wisconsin.
And what is that?
it's a place over here in Wisconsin.
It's Milwaukee,
where they
as it is.
Old houses that were built in like the mid-1800s,
wow.
And they reconstructed them. They're the exact same houses. They took them down stick by stick and rebuilt them here in this place, and you can tour them. And, you know, they got the period actors and, you know.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
I had no idea. I had no idea that you were into that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a student of history.
Yeah, I like history.
Jimmy, you know what I like doing when I go to the Renaissance Festival? Because I'm nutty for those things. I love it. Excuse me. When you get someone that's wearing the costume and wants to talk to you like ye old times, like, hello.
Right.
And I always love saying, say, where'd you get those Reeboks in the year 1874? And they're always like, my lord, I have no idea what shoe wear you thy is speaking
of. And you like to challenge them like that to see if they stay in character.
I go, oh, come on, your shoes are made in China.
That's always fun. And most of them do stay in character,
yeah,
right?
I know not this place you're speaking of, my lord.
Citizen, move on and stop speaking of my footwear. Did you have any food or drink at this place?
No.
Did you pour any good concrete today or yesterday?
Yesterday I did.
Mm-hmm. I know when I spoke to you over the weekend, you were pouring a load.
Hey.
I was what?
Weren't you pouring a load on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, when you called me, yeah. I was dropping a load.
Gotcha.
Do you feel older?
No. No, not at all. Good. It's just a day off of work and just another day, you know.
There is just something hilarious about thinking. I still have trouble thinking of you as an adult to begin with. The whole thing that you're married and a father is an entirely another thing. But then when you look at that number, 47.
Right.
No way. I still think of you. I guess it's a compliment, Jimmy. I still think like you're 15.
Did you talk to your brother about your impending purchase? As far as your two-wheel purchase that you're excited about?
Oh, no, he does. He does not know a thing about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Don's going to join us in the land of two wheels.
My brother is?
Yes,
but see if you can guess now.
What did he get? A Valkyrie or something?
What's a Valkyrie?
Or a Suzuki Boulevard?
What is that?
Tell me, it's a Harley that you bought.
Jimmy, I haven't got anything yet.
What is a Valkyrie? Is that a motorcycle?
Yeah.
First off, let me tell you, I am not getting a motorcycle, per se.
Oh, you're getting a scooter?
Yeah.
Hey, we got Marnie a scooter this spring.
See? Look at that.
Yeah, got her a scooter.
Everybody's got it.
Don's getting a scooter.
Oh, what kind?
I don't know yet. A kind that doesn't make me look like a retarded fat guy in a little coat. I can't yet find...
I got Marnie's all pinstriped from the guy that pinstriped my Harley.
Oh.
And on the back of her trunk, her scooter is actually a bagger. It's got a trunk and it's got a tour pack. And on the back of the trunk, it says, when I grow up, I want to be a Harley.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. You emailed me those photos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I've seen that. There's a lot of writing on the back of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. If anything, your wife's scooter is too manly for me.
Really? Has she got a real tricked out one?
Well, she's got a real big one with like big bags on the side of it, and he's got the beautiful paint job on it. And
how fast does her scooter go?
Marnie's supposed to do like 75 miles an hour.
Wow.
It's a 250 cc. I bought her a Chinese made one, but it's
Lead weighted it down.
Hey, but it's the same exact same scooter as the Honda Helix, but it was like $2,500 less.
All right, well, listen, when I get close to making the decision, I shall let you know.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and everybody out there with the Xbox, has that thing arrived yet? That refurbished, the new Xbox.
Oh, it didn't arrive yesterday, but we're heading towards home right now. So
it'll be there today. Maybe today. So we'll give. We'll get Jimmy's gamer tag up as soon as he gets that thing up and working. And listen, I love you, you homo. Happy birthday.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, I'm gonna have to get that Halo 3 game, but before I get online, I'm gonna have to practice on it for a couple of days because I don't want a bunch of guys yelling at me. Hey, doofus, move.
All right.
All right, no problem.
And happy birthday, Jim.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Happy birthday. Jimmy, how about the Packers? Come on now.
What, didn't they lose this weekend?
Oh, he's such a dick with that.
Hey, how about the Bears? How about the Bears kicking their ass a week or two ago?
Oh, is he more of a Bears fan than a Packers fan?
He just doesn't like the Packers because I like the Packers. Hey, dumbass, the Packers are 6-1.
Yeah, and the one was lost to the Bears.
Well, great. Why don't you go make out with the Bears?
Everybody thought the Bears were going to get whooped on real good. But
the Bears suck. Since when did you become a gigantic Bears fan?
I'm not a giant Bears fan. I just hate the Packers.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know your brother hated the Packers.
I mean, do people that are Redskin fans, do they have shrines in their living room or in front of their TV?
Yes.
With Redskin stuff?
Yes. Now, are you mocking me or are you mocking the people that live in your home state of Wisconsin?
You and the home state of Wisconsin.
All of them.
Oh, it's a shame that you two can't share that, the love of the Packers.
Now, you've forgotten that he felt this way because you were expecting him to jump on the bandwagon.
Frankly, I don't even think Jimmy watches football. You don't even watch it on a regular basis, do you?
No.
How's your driver doing this year?
Oh, Jeff?
Yeah.
He's doing pretty good, I think.
Okay. Your good friend, Jeff. Jeff Rainbow Gordon.
Yeah, did you hear what Jimmy Johnson did?
What did Jimmy Johnson do?
He donated all of his winnings.
To who?
Who was it, Marnie?
How's she doing?
Who did he donate his winnings to? Red Cross for Southern California Fires.
Ah. Hey, good for him.
Very nice.
Hey, put your wife on the phone.
Hold on.
She likes the Packers, right?
Hello?
Hi, Marnie.
Hello.
Hey there. You like the Packers, right?
Oh, they're okay.
Wow. How can you live there and not like them?
Well, I don't know. I never was into much into football.
What's your favorite sport, Marnie?
My favorite sport? Yeah. I like watching football.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I think I'm gonna get a scooter. Maybe not one as tricked out as yours, but I'm really thinking about it.
Oh, they're fun. It was funny. I went to work, and everybody's thinking, wow, it's so cool that you're driving that and everything, you know. So I guess I'm kind of standing out at work, whatever. But
do you have any scooter? Do you have any scooter advice for Don?
Any scooter advice?
Yeah.
Just practice a little bit before you get out on the road if you've never been on one before, or even on a motorcycle, because you know it's just turning those turns without falling over and stuff.
You make sure you give my brother that special birthday present tonight. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we'll see. He has to earn it today still.
Oh, he has to earn it.
He has to earn sex on his birthday.
Even after he took you to Old World.
Wow. Yeah, well, he might. It depends on if he's nice to me the rest of the day.
That's right.
Would you go back to Old World?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
No, it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, and it was a nice day today because tomorrow's our last day, so it wasn't real busy or anything.
Oh, so Old World closes up for the winter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope he enjoys the battery charger.
He said he didn't want anything, but you know.
Well, you got him a battery. You got him a battery charger, so like he can use those reusable batteries.
It's AA batteries for his digital camera and stuff.
Oh, good, very cool. Very good.
All right, well, Marnie, treat my brother right, and happy birthday to him.
Okay, I'll pass that on.
We have to go. We have a much more important caller on the other line.
I bet.
No, we do really. It's
thanks,
Jim,
Marnie.
It's Jim.
All right, thanks.
Okay,
bye. Talk to you later.
Hey, put my brother back on, please.
Okay, here he is. Yeah.
All right. Happy birthday.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye, Jimmy.
Take care, Jim.
Hey, bye. I got to go. Do you know who Jim Nance is?
Who?
Do you know who Jim Nance is?
No.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go.
Here he is now from CBS. Oops. Wrong one.
America's number one network.
Wrong again.
Hey, get that out of here.
Hold on. Rob's holding fingers up. I'm not sure which
CD
button.
CD2.
CD2.
Don't just look at it. Eat it.
It's the Don and Mike show.
That's not it.
There we go.
Yeah, baby.
So glad that Nancy's back on the show. Jim Nance, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well now that I finally ditched 43 sports writers on a conference call, and I just hung up. They're still ongoing.
Wow.
Well, to you guys. I'm sure I'm going to get – there's going to be some penalties to be paid for that.
Well, what are you on the conference call with 43 sports writers about?
About this little tilt I'll be calling on Sunday between the Patriots and the Colts, and it started at 3 o'clock. We had 43 writers from Los Angeles to New York, Boston, and everywhere in between. Somebody from the Washington Times just asked a question a minute ago, and I'm on there with Phil Simms, Sean McManus, our president, and Coach Bill Cowher, and there's just so much interest in the game. The questions, they just keep reloading. So, I had Don and Mike on the brain, so I finally just hung up the phone.
Nancy,
right
excited.
In the middle of it.
Nancy, I'm thinking this weekend possibly the highest-rated regular season game in CBS history. What do you think?
Well, it won't be in CBS history, so before you get absolutely carried away with yourself.
Modern age CBS history.
As you are apt to do, it will be the highest-rated regular season game in probably 15 years.
Wow.
Now, our Patriots-Dallas game 3 weeks ago was the highest-rated regular season game in 10 years, since a 97 game between San Francisco and Denver on a Monday night. So we should eclipse that. But I don't think you understand what I just did to come on this show.
You blew off 43 guys.
I just put my career in jeopardy.
Really?
Oh, please,
yes,
Jim.
I did.
Walking
please.
Away from a discussion of the preview of the AFC Championship.
I walked away from 43 writers clamoring for answers to what's going to happen on Sunday.
Did you throw
any? I just ditched them.
Jimmy, did you throw any of them your necktie as you often want to do?
No,
in a golf match?
Not this time, but I do want to say this, too, because I caught the very tail end of that. It was nice to hear your brother tell you he loved you. And it was nice to hear the sincerity in his voice. Because the way you said it, I mean, it sounded so, like, matter-of-fact. Like, it sounded like you were reading it off of a card.
I was. What I noticed from that was, yes, you're right, it was great to hear the love between my brother and myself. I thought perhaps what was more touching was that he didn't know who you were.
I'm used to that. I'm so used to that.
Jimmy, how are you dealing with the fact that, seriously, the world is now upside down, and it's the top, I would say, maybe seven teams in the league are in the AFC, and then there's the NFC, and this game this weekend, come on, like you said, it's going to be huge. Jim, you're on top of the world. CBS is finally on top of the football heap. Yes or no?
We are. I am. You're right on all accounts.
Amen.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Jimmy, take your shirt off.
Hey, I'm ripping it off right now.
Go back to the old days.
Hey, I've just popped the buttons. I'm ripping it off as I speak.
You know, as we broadcast here from our nation's capital, Jim, and you've got the Redskins just reeling after being thumped by the Patriots. I mean, this really. This team, the Patriots, they're up there with some of the greats of all time, don't you think?
Well, they've got to get past this little team called Indianapolis. You might remember them as the Super Bowl champions.
Piece of cake. Mm-hmm.
But if they do, I do think that we can start to put this in some sort of context, like this perhaps being or making a team that could make a run at being the all-time super team. Because I think the road after this is one that they can navigate undefeated. I really do.
All right, Jim, what about the other side? And I will take the other side. I'm the Colts. I won the Super Bowl, for God's sakes. I've not lost the game. I've won 12 games in a row. And you know what I am? I'm not chicken salad. I'm chicken the other stuff. Everybody looks at me and says, I stink. Doesn't that give me huge motivation? Doesn't that give me huge motivation?
Oh, I love you. I love this. No, they're not saying, people aren't saying they stink. It's just that they have been completely overshadowed. Well, you're right. They've won the 12 in a row, including beating New England to go to the Super Bowl. And on top of it, the last 2 weeks, they got handed this demanding schedule of playing two road games against teams with winning records in a six-day stretch. And they thumped them both. So they're good. Yeah, they get to come home and, again, it's not just some guy in Vegas. When you track these point spreads, that's a reflection of where the money's going. And the money says that the Patriots are a 4.5-point favorite.
Yeah, now, Jim, if you could explain that to me. You have your defending world champions who are undefeated. They are playing at home, and they're the underdog.
I can't explain. I thought I just did. If you want me to write it down and fax it to you?
Would you please?
I don't know, though. Again, that's a reflection when you talk about this underdog business. It's not some guy out there in Las Vegas who has it in for Tony Dungy and the Colts.
Jim, here's a
side. Reflection of where the money's going. And the money right now is, if the game, let's just say this, if the game was a pick, no points given either way, and I'm not anybody right. That's gambling or endorsing it. Obviously the money would be flooding in disproportionately on the New England side, which makes them out there in Las Vegas uncomfortable. They want it to be even split, so they make their money on whatever.
Nancy, you're from Houston. There's no hiding that. You love Houston. You're a season ticket holder for the Houston Texans.
And you know, I was on a radio show today in Sacramento, California.
Oh!
And you might know the Wise Guys.
Oh, who's that?
They run your show out there.
Oh, the Rise Guys.
We're on right now.
Oh, the Wise Guys on
KHTK.
The Rise Guys on KHTK.
They said they loved me on Don and Mike.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
And they also mentioned that, I was a season ticket holder for the Houston Texans. And now, how in the world do you know that? Well, because Don and Mike talk about it.
We tell the world that every day.
My question was going to be, Jim, while you are doing these extraordinary games, what happens to those seats in Reliant Stadium?
They are.
Can I write? Hold on. I want to write down my answer.
Okay. What's the guess? Oh, I'm going to write it down too. I've got a guess. Too. Hold on.
You got a little Jeopardy music in there?
Yeah. Well, we should. Sure. Hold on a second.
Okay. Hold on.
Come on, Rob.
He's on it. Okay. I'm writing it down. You have yours? All right.
I've got my answer. My answer is
okay. The panel is. Let's see what Jim says first.
The panel is set.
All right. Let's get the. All right.
We don't have music.
We don't have the music.
You don't have the music?
We were locked in.
Find the fake music.
I give the seats to my mother.
Oh.
Who had mother?
Mom. Did you have his mother?
Show your
what
answers.
Did you write down, Don?
Some charity.
Well, I wrote down a specific charity. I wrote down the Three Amigos.
Well, we do at times because she doesn't feel up to going to the games all the time. Sure. So there are times where we do look at the schedule, we pick out a couple, and we donate them to auctions down there. But they're good seats. I've just never had the privilege of sitting in one. I've never been to a game. I've had their tickets since they started.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I do that out of I'm a Houstonian. So I do that, A, to support the city, and B...
You're a millionaire. That's why you do that.
I do that also for Bob McNair, their gracious owner, who is such a good friend, and I wanted to lend a little support to him. They're getting better, by the way. I know they got stung pretty good out in San Diego this week, but we're about 2 or 3 years away from where I'm going to get put in the position. It's going to be a little awkward, and I'm going to be doing games there.
Wow.
Here's one more for you, Nancy. I thought that whole London thing was a bunch of...
I didn't get to see it. I was on the air at that time, I heard the conditions were dreadful.
I mean, what's your opinion, not your standard CBS guy, what's your opinion on there ever really long-term being an NFL team overseas?
Phil Simms tried to make a bet with me this weekend. He's, of course, my esteemed broadcast partner, that in the next 20 years, there will be an NFL franchise in Europe.
Really? Did you take the bet or not?
I tried to make a small friendly wager with him, but, he's actually... convinced that that's going to happen.
Let me ask you this.
I would take that bet, Jim, against it.
About that, I mean, you've got a situation. Do you really think that the interest is there, or is the NFL kind of force-feeding this on Europe?
Well, they certainly had the turnout there in London, didn't they?
Yeah, but Don was talking about the fact that what you were saying...
Was it like a rock concert, though, Jim?
Well, they've obviously devoted enough time and expense here in recent years, and I know they disbanded the European football side of it that the league sponsored, but they've poured a lot of money into trying to build the brand over there, and it's got to be leading to something.
All right, here's the most important question I have for you, though, Joe.
Can we get the game next year, by the way?
You're going overseas?
Yeah, and it's not going to always be in London. I know that's a possibility, but I'm hearing Stuttgart, Germany, perhaps will be the site.
Stuttgart. Jawohl.
Hey, Jim, let's see what you really know. What's on tonight at 10 o'clock on CBS?
Well, let's see. What is this? Tuesday. It's got to be Kane.
Wow.
Kane.
That's a good
Jimmy
poll.
Jimmy Smits in his network return. Uh-huh. Kane.
What about
Tuesday night on America's number one network.
All right. I love it. You got me. You stumped me with that.
That's you can't go any further now. He got you with the tough one.
You know, Nancy, you are the greatest. Do you have a feeling you're calling the game, you got that whole thing, you won't
predict a winner. But without predicting a winner, can you tell us in your heart, do you have a team that you think is going to win?
Well, it's, you know, I think everybody realizes that New England has looked unbeatable at this point. And not that the Colts look vulnerable, I mean, particularly given their last two road wins that were decisive blowout victories on the road. But I, you know, I've just got to see it to find out if there is a way to beat this Patriots team. I've had a couple of their games already, including the one down at Dallas. And, you know, Dallas stayed with them. Dallas actually took the lead early in the third quarter, and then the Patriots just reeled off a 27-3 stretch to close it and never looked back. So, you know, my hunch is New England might be fractionally better, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'm wrong about that.
And this is the beginning of something big, right? I mean, this is a pretty darn good rivalry.
This is the rivalry of this age in the NFL.
Yeah, this is Dallas, San Francisco,
right?
It's going
to define this decade, and it's been around for a while because, you know, this used to be Peyton and Indianapolis' nemesis, New England. They couldn't beat them. But now people also forget, though, that in the last couple of years, they've had the Patriots number. They beat them twice in the regular season, plus they beat them last year in the AFC title game. So they've won three in a row.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, what makes a good rivalry is just a little bit of bad blood between teams. You know, these are such, you know, class acts on either side. I mean, is there any of that fun stuff going on between
these teams? The Patriots are cheaters, Mike.
Is there any really bad blood between these guys?
Well, you know, Mike, listen, Don touches on something here. If you, you know, if you want good guy, bad guy here in this matchup, the good guy right now nationally, I'm not saying this is how I view it, but would be Indianapolis. The bad guy would be New England.
That's
for two
right.
reasons. A would be the Spygate thing, and three is there's this kind of a public opinion right now swirling after this Redskins debacle over the weekend that they're running up the score.
You know, hey Jim, hold on. There is an argument to that, and I'm on the side that if you got a team that's running it up, like when they go for it on fourth down, and they have Brady run a sneak, and they're winning by 38. You know how you counter that on the other side? You do it like in the old days.
You make a tackle.
You get some guys to just, I mean, without being crude, you beat the crap out of Tom Brady. You make it so that the coach says, I got to get him out of the game now.
Yeah, and even with the Spygate thing, I just don't sense the same kind of, you know, with some of the great rivalries, Red Sox, Yankees, or you got Dallas and the Redskins, there was always that little combat, that verbal combat that went on, and I hope we see some of that. I think that spices it up.
Oh, I think it's there, but, you know, you look at this matchup, we got two unbeatens. The latest in the history of the league, two unbeatens have matched on a field.
Well, what's on tonight at 9 on CBS?
Oh, my goodness.
Don't look at a newspaper, see. Jim. Don't
We've
look
got,
at...
it's either NCIS or the unit.
Oh, my God, he's got the lineup.
Okay, so I'm not sure which one goes at 8 and which one goes at 9, but you guys make the call, and I'll call the broadcast center. We'll flip it if I got it upside down.
All right. Oh, hold on. What, Jimmy?
Is that my cue to leave?
Well, we know that you're a very busy man.
No, I'm not busy. I've got nowhere to go.
No, hold on. Turn off the music.
I wanted to tell you guys something. You got me all, you know, you got me beating my chest here.
Okay.
10 minutes. Okay, go ahead.
Am I running into a
no,
spot
no,
here?
No, beat away.
Okay.
Yes.
I've got a trivia question for you guys.
All right. Okay.
The four highest rated television programs of the year, sports or entertainment or otherwise.
This past year?
Can you tell me what they are?
One would be American Idol.
One is the Super Bowl.
Let me see. I'm trying to think. Now,
one, of course, would be Numbers, Friday nights on CBS.
anything that Jim Nance calls. The final Sunday of the Masters.
Well, I wish that Masters was in there, but we can't give it to you. Here you go. I'm gonna spare you, okay?
Okay.
Now, by the way, this game Sunday will crack that top four. It'll be third, it'll be my guess, at the end of the year. Wow. Number one by a mile, of course, is the Super Bowl.
Of course.
Which I had the great fortune to be able
to
call.
You called that game.
Uh-huh. But it was the most watched television program in 11 years. And the third all time.
Right.
Okay? There was a MASH finale and a Super Bowl Dallas-Pittsburgh 96 are 1 and 2. Then our Super Bowl this year with Indy and Chicago. So this for this calendar year 07, one will be the Super Bowl. Two was the AFC title game, Indy and New England.
Did you happen to call that, Jim?
You know, as a matter of fact, I
did.
What?
He did.
Okay, number three is going to be this Sunday's game, my prediction. Okay, but currently residing in a tie for third is the Dallas-New England game from 3 weeks ago.
All right, listen to this.
It is tied with
the finals of American Idol.
Wow.
And guess the guess who can name the one person on the planet that was at all four of those events?
Oh, God, wow.
Were you
He's
really,
come a long way.
Were you really at the American Idol?
I was
Idol?
Really at the finals of American Idol.
What were you, what were you
I took
doing?
I took my then 12-year-old, no, she just turned 13, 13-year-old daughter, Caroline. I had that dangling for the whole seventh grade year. If you come home, your first three report cards, nothing worse than a B. I need all A's and B's. I'm taking out of school for 2 days, and we're flying to Los Angeles, and we're going to the finals of American Idol, and that we did.
I believe that wasn't the fifth-rated TV show.
I don't want to take too much credit for this, for these ratings.
You need to put your shirt back on.
Yeah, put it back on now.
What about my slacks?
Wow, he's all wound up.
What about as the fifth highest-rated show of all time, Jim Nance remembers Nicholas at the Masters?
Fantastic.
That was just out of the top 20.
And what is it you say about the Masters? It's a tradition. What is it?
A tradition unlike any other. The Masters any on other. CBS.
Jim Nance is wound up. God damn, you're wound up, Nancy. And rightly you should be. You're going to have a huge audience, a great game. Do you have any concern at all about the quality of the game itself?
No, non-zero zip. How can you say that? No one's going to run away with this one. This will be a great game, period.
Rob Spiewak has just done some research on Google. The sixth most popular TV show of all time was last year when you hosted the top Super Bowl commercials.
And I'm doing it again.
Doing it again.
Along with the beautiful Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, very good. Oh, nice. Yeah, way to throw that plug in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know.
Jim, will you be appearing on any CBS shows? I know that you were on yesteryear.
Yes, any cameos in your future?
You know, I've the right script just hasn't come along here.
That's
I've been
right.
looking through a few lately, and, you know, it's just got to be right.
Now, with all these TV ratings, you might want to think about feature films as well.
And how about you, Jim?
But somebody, some agent out there has got to come up with this tie that there is one common thread to the top, what will be the top five rated shows of the year.
Wow.
I just got to tell you, I never pictured you as one of those Hollywood phonies.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's
one,
your fault.
One of those guys. I tell you what, honey, you get all A's and B's. Daddy will put you on the corporate jet, take 2 days, fly you out to Hollywood for American Idol. You know why? Because your daddy is in the top five rated shows of all time.
You know, listen. You're getting carried away. It was nothing like that.
It was totally like
that. We flew commercial. Yes, we put her up front. Yes, we did. We stayed at the Beverly Wilshire, you know.
There you go.
A little suite there. You may have heard of it. It was the suite called the Governor's Suite that was used as the exact set. That was where they shot the movie Pretty Woman. That's where we...
But, Daddy, I don't even like American. It'll be quiet. There are the cameras. Hi, it's Jim Nance. I'm here with my daughter.
You know, it's what we like to call it. It's Nance magic. And, we should have the T-shirts printed up.
You guys took this
humble,
bashful, humble broadcaster who, he had, 15 years of experience. But, you know, before I met Don and Mike, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago. Uh-huh. And you guys said, you know, we need to pump you up.
Take your shirt off.
We need to pump you up, man.
Pump
you
up.
You need to run out of the CBS offices at BlackRock right now and go shout out to the world who you are. So I do that. And a hard time now for me is to kind of harness it and pull back.
Yeah.
Last question, Jim. When is your retirement date? Go.
April 8th, 2035.
Wow. Good man. Oh, you're the greatest, Jim.
Jim, we always...
That'll be the day that I will say goodbye from my 50th Masters. You guys think I'm kidding.
I believe it. I swear to God, I believe it with all of my heart. I'll be blowing spit bubbles somewhere watching you do that telecast, and I'll have tears streaming down my face.
All right, boys.
Nancy, we always love talking to you. Have a great call of the game. We hope to talk to you before the Super Bowl. Have a good holiday.
And unlike the way you said it to your brother, I send all my love to you guys, you know, with sincerity. Don.
As do I, James.
Thank you, pal.
All right, love you, Jimmy.
Love you now.
Bye-bye.
There you go. That's Jim Nance, everybody.
The great Jim Nance, he really is.
Wound up today.
She was out of sight.
She was dying to get away from those sports writers.
Man, if he loved you anymore, he'd put you up at the Beverly Wills.
That's too funny. He has the ratings numbers right at the top of his head.
Yeah. You know, you remember how crushed he used to be.
He was mellow.
When CBS was getting killed in the ratings, and he'd be like, hey, guys, I don't like talking about the competition.
He's a blast now when he comes on.
He loves
Let me tell you who was at all four highest rated programs.
And my daughter. daughter, Sasha Nance.
Sasha.
We flew commercial.
Sat up front.
All right, that's a lie. We didn't fly commercial.
Oh, God. The Pretty Woman's Suite, unlike any other.
Title that, The Two Perfect Jims.
Mm-hmm.
My Two Jims.
That's right.
That's it.
Jim Source, Jim Nance.
Two men, giants in both their own fields.
And they both love us, Mike.
They do indeed.
And we them. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Good evening. I've been asked to tell you that the following show is very scary, with stuff that might give your kids nightmares. You see, there are some crybabies out there.
Good quality on this tape, I just like to say. It's like you're watching it over the air.
There are some crybabies out there.
Religious types, mostly, who might be offended. If you are one of them, I advise you to turn off your set now. Come on, I dare you. Chicken! Hey.
Homer, did you just call everyone chicken?
No. I swear on this Bible.
That's not a Bible. That's a book of carpet samples.
Ooh, fuzzy.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
And his wife comes through the door.
So?
Did I mention she was dead?
No.
Well, she was. And she hit him in the head with a golf club.
And?
Don't you remember? He went golfing all the time and it really bugged her.
You said he went bowling.
No! I've coughed up scarier stuff than that.
Oh. Oh. I thought I heard dudes say, oh.
Me too.
The comedy stops here.
There you go.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was interesting.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Oops. There you go. You're on the air. Hi.
Hey, I just want to say that's one of the best sets that I've ever heard from you guys.
That was a good set we just did, Mike.
Now it's a set. We've had sketch. We've had skit.
Skit.
Set. That was a great set. Well, you know, we just Don always decides before the show what we're going to put on the charts. Mm-hmm. Before we get the roadies to set up the speakers.
We pre-tested that. What was our Q score on that?
I don't know, whatever you guys call it, but it was one of the best segments that I've ever
Best segments.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm old. I have to search for the words.
I hope those people that listen to those opening segments on the show today appreciate it now because we got to play Major League catch up now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was thinking as the as Jim did not want to leave and Jim did not want us to go to a commercial break.
I mean, Nance, not Source.
I think we were a little behind the eight ball right now.
Because originally we were told that Nancy had 10 minutes, and then as it turns out, she really did blow off all of those reporters. Mm-hmm. And
she lingered longer.
Didn't want to go.
I believe that she was having a Calgon bath oil bead moment.
She was wound up. She gets more and more wound up every time she comes on this show.
She was like a dog in heat today, wasn't she?
Hello. I love you.
Yeah, lots of love there. Uh-huh. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing better.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Who is this?
Who's this?
This is Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Is this Don or Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the frig do you want to make about it?
I just want to see if I can talk to Don or Mike.
Let's see which one wants to talk to you. Hey, Don, you want to talk to Bill?
Only if he's stupid as dirt, Mike.
Go ahead. He's right here.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Don and Mike Show. How are ye?
Oh, well, I'm doing very well. I just wanted to call and tell you guys that I listen to you every single day, except on Thursdays.
Why not on Thursdays?
I don't drive the van on Thursdays.
That's our best day.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot Thursday's no van day.
Special van, right?
That's what's going on.
What do you haul in your van?
Porno.
Porno.
We made love in my Chevy van, and that's all right, I mean.
Somehow you think of that when I think of van. I think of can you help me with this sofa? What is that? What does he say to her? He says something to her.
Hold on, Mike. There's a better one than that, though.
Okay.
It's the van down by the river.
The van down by the river.
That's the winner of all vans, right?
The winner of the vans, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello there.
Hey, tell Ravi I've got Brian Piccolo's wife's phone number if he wants to call her and tell her what a crappy ball player he used to be.
You mean to get some of that Robbie hate out of his system?
Sure. Exactly.
That's a good thing.
I don't think he really has the number.
Hello, Mrs. Piccolo.
Why not call Judith Belushi at the same time? Tell her, hey, John was a cokehead.
I didn't care for his comedy, especially the Killer Bee segments. I didn't like that, Mrs. Belushi.
Hi, Mrs. Bishop.
Hello.
Joey was a suck comic.
Courtney Love. I never liked Nirvana.
Didn't care for it at all. I think he sucked. Bye now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, that was the best scene ever.
Good scene.
People stop it.
You know why it was good? Because
we were in it.
We were in the scene.
That's right. You had all the angles. I liked especially that angle from the back of his head when you were talking.
It was a great scene.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we shot it. We actually, what is it they say? We blocked it out for the cameras.
Yeah,
right?
We blocked it before he came in because Jim only had a certain amount of time, so we only had really one take that we could do.
And we just did a table read before he went on the air.
That's good. You win.
Table read. And it was really just a treatment.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and and it's rare to be able to do that kind of work with just one shot.
It was really bullet points, really. Mm-hmm.
The weird thing is, Jim didn't even look at his sides.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, is this Don and Mike?
You know, we were looking at the dailies during the commercial break, and we were all very satisfied.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Good rushes.
But a couple calls ago, the guy said, "I just wanted to tell Don blah blah blah," and then he told you.
Well, that's great. It's like we weren't here. Of course we know that happened.
The reason we left him on the air is, well, he, like many of our troubled listeners, didn't realize he was actually speaking to us.
Well, a couple days ago, the guy wanted to ban the use. I was just going to tell you, and then they tell you.
Well, we decided we weren't going to use that as a bannable offense, though.
We're okay with that.
We still live in a whatnot world.
Yeah, and guises.
Whatnot.
And is it me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, your guys' whatnot's awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, Donna, my show. You're like someone who likes just going into the no-fly zone.
Mm-hmm. Troublemaker.
Hello, Donna, my show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I wondered if I could talk about that porn star that was arrested for road rage.
Which porn star, my friend?
Pierce Brosnan?
It happened. You guys probably already knew about it. It happened a couple of weeks ago.
I vaguely remember something
about
this.
But the thing that was...
Mike, Pierce Bronson was never in porno.
Brosnan. It's not Bronson. It's Charles Bronson, Pierce Brosnan.
No, I know, but you mean the Remington Steele guy?
Well, he was just involved in a little scuffle with the paparazzi earlier.
But it wasn't porno, right?
No, it wasn't porno. No. Not that I wouldn't like to see him in porno.
The porn star you're thinking of is Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, bless you.
Don's allergic to puns.
Tell me about it.
Oh, wow.
The thing I thought that was interesting was, being in porn probably isn't the worst. That's why he risked it.
Oh, God, get a phone that works, please.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, it puts the lotion in the basket or it gets the hose again.
Well, that's it, but, I mean, he said something different when he tried to get the girl in the van.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
It's the jackal.
The jackal?
Hey, jackal.
Yeah. Hey, you guys ever worry about catching a bullet in the head on your way to your car after work?
No, we don't, Jackal.
Hey, show me $100, you backpacker.
The Jackal, you sound very hostile. Why so hostile, Jackal?
Happy Halloween, boys.
How's Douglas? That was Ken Stevens, right?
The Jackal. The Jackal, otherwise known his alias, the Apostle.
The Jackal was a nickname that lived with him for a long time, right?
Ken the Jackal. Hello. Because we said he looked like a terrorist.
Don and Mike Show. I guarantee I've not seen that MF-er since he got blown out with the whole Opie and Anthony thing.
Right.
But unless he's done a total makeover, I bet for a guy who used to like to travel a lot,
right,
Ken probably either has had to have a total makeover or he's got to get stopped and profiled at every airport in the world.
Yeah, because he had the huge black beard.
Our old general manager really looked like, and the beard was one of those beards that looked like it could have been glued on.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. And he's really, ever since that he left CBS, he's kind of gone underground. You know, he just occasionally releases a videotape and tells us what's going on.
The last I heard is he now weighs 370 pounds.
he is a man who has potential to really join the big man's club.
Maybe he got those tags removed.
The skin tags?
Skin tags.
Oh, that's impossible.
Did you just use a hole punch?
Be too much blood loss.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Yeah, if you like those Paul Scofield clips from that one movie, you should also check out.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Not quick enough, Charlie.
I'm going to call.
Thank you, Charlie.
I'm going to say, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
How are you doing? That's the more important question.
That's doing just fine. Don, the Buffalo Bills are going to move to Canada in the next 5 years, so Don, you're going to lose that bet.
Yeah, buddy, okay, listen, you're so totally wrong. They are not moving the franchise to Toronto. They are splitting time. They're going to play, I think, four regular season games and a couple of preseason games over 5 years. And in the next 20 years, if the Buffalo Bills move anywhere, it would be to Los Angeles. It would not be to Toronto.
And he's gone.
Or you could just hang up like the giant hairless pussy you are. You just hang up.
I like that one.
The giant walking hairless crab that you are.
Now he's a crab. He's gone from being the source to the parasite himself.
Well, we got a break.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, Don. They're moving to Canada. You're going to lose your bet there. Oh, look at that. I'm a hairless crab. I got no hair, but I'm still biting.
We will be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Play action from the 18. Won it all. Deep down the field. It is hauled in by Greg Jennings. The Packers win in overtime. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
An 82-yard game-winning touchdown to Greg Jennings. And the Packers are 6-1.
Gracias.
The Don and Mike Show. Time for another webisode of the Don and Mike program.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Oh, that is good.
For Robbie calling me, ruining it.
Well, he called you early. Did you have enough time to enjoy the overtime moments?
Ruin it, yeah.
Ruining.
Woke everybody in my house up. But he threw that pass up. I mean, girlfriend, dogs,
right.
Everybody.
Yes!
I went crazy.
I almost was going to call you at that time.
Hello.
Just let you talk to Carrie for a few minutes.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don, it's Carrie.
Hello.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, it's Sample Man again.
It's a good soundboard.
You know me?
No, who are you, Sample Guy?
Mr. T.
Who?
Mr. T.
Mr. T.
Timely. Don't look at him. I'm talking to you.
Cut the jibber jabber.
Bye.
Sorry.
Yeah. Not thick enough.
Goodbye. Here's something that I find rather interesting about the state of radio. Mm-hmm.
Radio, what would life be without it?
Now, Bruce Springsteen should be very happy. He has the number one selling disc in America.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably get a Grammy for this disc. But there is a hitch. Radio is not playing any songs from Bruce Springsteen's new album.
Why not?
Buzz, I asked around.
Yeah.
I looked in some of our radio magazines.
Pretty good, I've heard it.
I asked some people that I know at radio stations. The album itself has sold,
uh-huh.
I think it sold 500,000 copies in a couple of weeks, and it's near a million.
Right.
The problem is that the rock stations say nobody cares about Bruce Springsteen. The light rock stations say, we got all that we can take. The top 40 stations say, yeah. So what Columbia is doing is sending out a remixed version. There's a girl on there's a song rather on the Bruce Springsteen album called The Girls in Their Summer Clothes.
It's a great song.
Well, I've not heard it, but I'm reading something here that Columbia is giving the song, quote, a poppy Beach Boys type remix that they hope will give this Bruce Springsteen song some airplay.
Is that with the blessing of the maestro himself? Or are they just, do they have the right to go in, I guess, and they contractually they can do what they want?
They can do whatever they want. Because you remember back like when Dancing in the Dark came out, they put out disco extended mixed versions of all that.
I played those, yes.
That's what they're doing now. So,
well, that's unfortunate.
Not even a fan of Bruce Springsteen. I normally don't really like his stuff, but I've heard this album and that song in particular. Great.
I find it very hard to believe that a guy could have the number one selling record in America, and there's no radio station playing it. Maybe that's part of the problem with Radidio.
We have a weird world musically and with radio right now, and it's very, very difficult to put my finger on exactly what's wrong with it. You know,
if you watch that Monday night game, boy, they're good at whoring out that game. Because not only did they say we're going to have Deanna Favre in the booth and Vince Vaughn in the booth, all night we'll be playing songs from the new Eagles album.
Yeah, after 28 years, the Eagles are doing
which is available at Walmart. And I say the album, wait 28 more years and try harder, guys.
Yeah. You're not a fan?
Not really. It sounds
I haven't heard any of it yet, and I'm excited because I kind of like the Eagles.
Well, I'm a huge Eagles fan as well.
Right.
And I like even some of the stuff that
they play all of it? Or, I mean, did they just give you little blurbs on Monday Night Football?
They played lots of the hooks, and I'll just tell you, it's good if you like the soft rock sound of the Eagles.
Oh, really? Like peaceful, easy feeling kind of Eagles?
I'd say that maybe is a little bit too rocky.
Really?
From what I heard last night.
Is it a Henley-ized album at all? Has it got a little of the Henley feel? Like Henley.
It's got a lot of harmony. I like Don Henley, too. It's just, I don't know. To my ears last night, in the couple of seconds I could hear, it sounded like Alabama or some.
Yeah. Well, they get a lot of country play. Isn't that where speaking of radio, isn't that where the Eagles are getting most of their play now, is on country stations? I think that's where they're getting a lot of airplay.
That I don't know about. Then there's also this about the Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien thing. Now, this is a screwy deal that Conan O'Brien's got the job. Jay Leno is giving up the job. But then Jay Leno decides he doesn't want to give up the job. And they're going to pay Conan O'Brien $50 million if they decide not to give the Tonight Show to Conan O'Brien.
Is Jay Leno going to pack it in, or does anybody even know?
Here's what the president of NBC said yesterday. Jeff Zucker is this guy's name. Mm-hmm. Now,
Jeff Zucker.
Watch these quotes. Hello. Conan O'Brien will take over the Tonight Show in 2009.
Will.
What will happen to Jay Leno? We're in those conversations now. We're hopeful Jay will still be with us.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's a little weird.
They're trying to keep him with the network.
That's very cryptic.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe he'll be like Bob Hope and just have an occasional NBC special.
I think so.
Wow. We have one more thing here from Florida. Thank you, whoever said this, from Delray Beach, Florida. The cops put out a list of the most common criminal names in their database from the last 3 years.
First names?
Yes.
Okay.
Nicknames.
Hold on. Well, I don't know, Buzz. Do you want to read the story?
No. We're just helping. He asked if it was first names, and you said you didn't know, so I said they're nicknames.
Well, you're right, Buzz. Uh-huh. It is nicknames.
Uh-huh. It's nicknames?
It's nicknames.
Is Spike in there?
The most popular is Peanut.
Peanut?
Second is...
Doesn't sound like a criminal.
Second is Big Man.
Hey, I get that all the time.
Third is Champ. Mm-hmm. Fourth is Pee-wee.
Right.
Then you have Betty Boop, Bebop, Bam Bam, and Beanpole.
How about Babs?
Also arrested in the last 3 years, a.k.a. Buttercat, Boy George, Horsehead, Chicken Man, Guy Boy, Tweet, Snake, Stinky,
Donkey Weed,
Drunk Mo, and Snowman.
Excuse me, we hated to bang on your door here. Have you seen Horsehead around here? Well, he kind of looks like this. Yes.
Where was that from? Buzz, you know more about this than I do, apparently. Where the hell is Delray Beach, Florida?
I'm not. Mike lives down there. Mike, do you know where Delray Beach is?
Delray Beach, Florida. I live in Fort Myers, Florida, and I'm not sure exactly where Delray is.
Let me see if I can track
it down. That's one of the bits of show prep that we got sent from our station in South Florida.
South Florida, where we used to be on the big band Music with Frank Sinatra?
That's right.
Super duper.
That's how the Don and Mike Show localizes for you our syndicated stations.
Does that mean that those nicknames come up like again and again and again?
Over
that the same guys have the Peanut surfaces again, or perhaps Peanut is arrested continuously?
Peanut is the most popular in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. 9 criminals in their database have the nickname Peanut.
Peanut.
Peanut. Big Man is second with 5 criminals.
How many does Horsehead have?
horse head. Two.
Two. There are two horse heads out
two
there.
Two horse heads. Also two donkey weeds.
Mm-hmm. Donkey. I believe donkey weed might involve selling some sort of illegal substance.
What?
Just my guess.
I haven't heard it on the block.
You know what they do down in Fort Myers, Florida? One of the things that they did down there, speaking of the criminal justice system, the local newspaper down in Fort Myers actually comes out every year with the worst habitual drunk driving offenders that they have down there. And on the front page, they put a guy that's just been arrested with his bloodshot eyes. I sued.
Good for you,
I was
Mike.
Furious.
Good for you.
I was furious.
Delray hey. Beach is right between Palm Beach and Boca Raton.
East Coast. That's why mm-hmm. I didn't know it. Not familiar with the East Coast.
And that's why we got said that from our station down there, WMEN. That's right where they are. So
mm-hmm. I'm West Coast, baby.
That's right.
Also, just got this.
Big battle between East Coast and West Coast in Florida.
I just got an instant message from a buddy of mine who is a board op for our station, a Clear Channel radio station. And he wrote, Don, radio will not play magic. I was talking about Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. He writes, Clear Channel has sent an edict to its classic rock stations, ordering them not to play tracks from magic.
Why?
It's okay to play old songs, such as Dancing in the Dark. Clear Channel wants to send a clear message to radio outlets. At age 58, Bruce Springsteen is too old to be played on Clear Channel rock stations.
That is ludicrous beyond belief.
As a current artist.
Uh-huh. That is so strange.
Okay to play him as an oldie artist.
If the music's right. good, what the hell?
Well, the main thing is people are buying the stupid record.
Yeah, ha-ha. Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
And we're just dancing in the dark.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, two quick things. I'm not sure if anybody caught you. Del Rey's on the East Coast down near Fort Lauderdale.
Thanks.
And hey, for the sexy women going for the regular schlups, you guys didn't fess up on your true off-air relationship with Leah Remini and the wild three-ways you'd have.
Oh, that's right, when Mike and I would make a Leah sandwich.
Yeah, but that's back when Don and I were both, we both had 29-inch waists and we were very, very bulked up. We were cut, actually.
Let's be honest. Enough time has passed. We forced ourselves on her.
In a good way, though. I mean, it was kind of prearranged. Hey, Don, look, say things the wrong way. It was rough sex is what it was. It was rough sex.
She had an ugly word for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word that we don't like.
No, that word has terrible connotations. We don't want to say that word.
The way I recall it is that eventually she was okay with you two, but me in the room with the tubing, she hated.
Didn't like you being there at all.
Never a word about that.
That's right, because you used the tubing the wrong way.
Well,
you were supposed to tie people up, and you just tied it around yourself, you know what I mean.
I had lots of tubing.
Rob tied it around him.
And you kept calling out instructions that seemed to contradict
Rob
each other.
Rob should not even be in this playlist.
No, it's making me uncomfortable. He forced himself into the Leah playlist.
Let's just cut through. The playlist is that we are raping Leah.
Oh, dear God.
If you want to use those terms. So,
that's what we were dancing around.
Rough sex is
rough
what it was.
Sex.
Rough sex. Yes.
I like rape.
Yeah, I don't like him being here anyway on this discussion.
Bye,
you
Rob.
Don't want
please
me in the room
leave
with
this play.
Bye, tubing?
Stage left, please.
Bye-bye.
Tubing.
And like I said, that's an ugly word. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way it was with Leah.
Not at all.
If anything, she us.
Right. Right. And we all enjoyed ourselves at the end of the day. That's the most important thing. It was wonderful. It was special.
We woke up and there was Rob with tubing.
And then somebody had to stay overnight because he couldn't get enough. Somebody had to stay and linger and be out there all the time with her. And somebody was sent home.
Mm-hmm. That's someone who's never, in real life, never going to get those days back in his life.
At the time, you enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, hello, Don and Mike Show.
She was in the magic box.
Hey,
at the time, heroin addicts also enjoy shooting heroin, Mike.
At the time.
But later they wish they had that time back.
I always fantasize about you padding around that house.
That was really, truth be told, maybe the most boring night of my life.
Sure.
Spending the night at Leah Remini's house with her goddamn ultra-sensitive burglar alarm set so that I was afraid to move past my quadrant of the house.
Right.
Afraid I would set off some motion detector.
Oh, hello. As you're elbow deep in her underwear drawer.
And the whole time I'm there just with the crazy thought that maybe she'll like walk out and forget I'm there. Like, oh, I'm naked. I forgot. Uh-huh.
Did you harbor any fantasies whatsoever?
No.
None?
No, because one thing about Leah Remini, she's a very nice lady.
She is. It's a shame that she has not responded to our periodic olive branches. Mm-hmm.
She made it pretty clear right up front. Well, first off, I was happily married.
Yes.
Right.
Of course.
And she was happily married, and she made it very apparent that even if I was Adam and she was Eve, nothing would happen because you always like hearing this. Hey, you're like my brother.
Yeah.
Which is why she came down to breakfast with no makeup on. And I thought, well, in a way, this is nice. I get to see a TV star all hagged out.
Right.
But it's only because she thought of me as a brother.
Right? Yes, exactly. And there wasn't even any cuddling.
No, and it's like, you know, she came down and I remember the morning she came down in her PJs. And they were just like old-time TV man's PJs, button-up kind. And seriously, without makeup, she was puffy. And I could have maybe tried to peek between
the buttons.
But I was too horrified at what I was actually seeing.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, this is what she really, really, really looks like.
Was she offended that you came to the breakfast table in just a T-shirt? Was she? You know, was that? Or did she? She was kind of matter of fact about that, you know? And the excuse that you used, this is the way I walk around the house by myself whenever I wake up in the morning.
We're blurring the line because we're goofing, but on one hand, seriously, I was such a mental patient. When we were friends with Leah Remini, I actually bullied myself into one time we were out there spending the night at her house.
Stayed at her place.
Not because I thought I was going to get anywhere with her,
right,
but because I'm a goddamn jock sniffer TV sniffer.
Well, and you thought it would be good for the show, which it was. It was highly entertaining as you were talking about that. But I do remember you being just a little bit let down at the whole experience, you know, that, you know, this bunking with a TV star was not the most fun experience you ever had.
You know, I did get to see her without her makeup. Great.
And then you went out,
a lot of people went to see Saw 4 this weekend, too.
You went back for more, though, when you went out with her and the whole recording session with Angelo.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. With Barry White's wife.
That's right. Who didn't like you, right?
That's right.
Was very angry.
Too bad.
Very frustrating.
My night in the Hollywood Hills. Kicked out of a recording studio by the late Barry White's wife.
Mm. And that's the last foray into the Hollywood world that we've had.
Mike, hold on. We are going way back down the Wayback Machine. We got to live in the now.
Yes.
What is tomorrow, my friend?
Tomorrow is All Hallows Eve.
That's right. And what is that I hear?
Oh, someone's at the door.
We better get that door when we come right back.
Very good.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
How careless. You should be careful. A person can get killed that way.
I hope you weren't disturbed, Dr. Leho.
It is perfectly right, my dear. Introduce me.
This is Miss Raymond, Mr. Young, and this is Wilbur.
Hello, Dr. Lejos. I've been looking for you all day.
I know it's going to be scary.
Excellent. Let's take him to the cellar. We can dispose of all the bodies at the same time.
Oh, wasn't that scary? Huh?
Huh? That's right, that's right. I'm sad and blue.
Well, we got the happy Halloween music. Tomorrow's the day.
Mysterious visitors from the Orient. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now, tomorrow we'll have our Halloween spooktacular.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
Ooh. Joe will be trick-or-treating for beer, trick-or-beer. We'll play our Halloween game.
Uh-huh. And we will try to scare you.
Not really.
Not really.
Disclaimer.
Not really.
We don't scare Mike.
Not really.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
However, I do know that there's all kinds of trick-or-treaters outside. Yes. In fact, I'll tell you something before we answer the first doorbell here. Uh-huh. I have seen TV's Tom Bergeron hanging around our building all day today.
Huh. I saw him earlier, and he was bringing in, it looked like dry cleaning. He just kept bringing in dry cleaning after dry cleaning after. I don't know what he was up to.
Let me get the doorbell.
It's me, Tom Bergeron, dressed in my Marie Antoinette outfit, crotchless ball gown. I'm dancing with the stars. I have to leave now. I have to change into my next outfit. I'll be right back. Right, hey, cool. Thank you. Get me.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Be right back.
So it's
About Franco.
Let's see who's at the door.
Happy Halloween. I'm Jack Sparrow. Look at my special chaps so you can see my buttocks. Happy Halloween. Dancing with the Stars. I have to head outside now.
Tom?
Yeah, yes, I'm standing by.
You're going to be
Are you watching Dancing with the Stars?
You're going to be...
We've got a fantastic group of people this year. It's coming down to an exciting final, and I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll truly enjoy it. Oh, I have to step outside the door again, and then you have to open it. Let me go outside right now. I'm back as the Incredible Hulk. Look, I've painted my thing green for you. I'm Dancing with the Stars.
So, Tom.
Yeah, I'm standing by. I have to do another costume change. You know, costumes are a very significant part of ballroom dancing, and it's very important that the stars always look their best on Dancing with the Stars. Yes, Rob?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just got here. Who are you?
I'm Tom Bergeron, but you know what I'm doing? I'm changing into my new costume. Look at this.
Wow!
I'm Count Dracula. That's right. Hit the music, band leader. Count Dracula says, looking at you, your blood's not all I'll suck. I'm dancing with the stars.
Huh.
This is very exhausting as I'm changing into costume after costume.
How many costumes?
I'll be right back.
So many.
Right,
spins on the hangers.
I'm coming back in now. Here I am. Look at me. I'm the devil. If you pull my tail, I make. That's our latest fashion statement on Dancing with the Stars. Let me make my way. Let me get that door again. I'll come
right
back out. No, not the doorbell. I have to leave. Come back in. Now I'm coming back in. I'm Britney Spears. Just like Britney, I shaved for you. Ah. I'm Dancing with the Stars. I've got to get outside
now, Tom,
and get that door again.
People don't know you're actually dressed.
Yes.
You are actually dressed like Britney Spears in that snake charmer outfit.
I've got a snake charmer outfit, but let me lift my legs up into the air so you can
that
see.
Down.
Just like Britney. Isn't that fantastic on Dancing with the Stars? All the stars love a good close shave, and so does Tom Bergeron. Yeah. I've got to get this costume back to the Now let me open this other door here. Ah, yes, sirree. Exciting. I'm Angelina Jolie. If you'll notice, I've had some trouble talking because of the collagen in my lips. I'm Dancing with the Stars. Halloween's my favorite time of year. I really enjoy it. I enjoy this so much more than when I was doing AFH, America's Favorite Home Videos. Oh, let me get that right here. Ah, yes, who is it? It's me, Tom Bergeron, as Elvira. I invite you to bury your face into my lovely cleavage. All for Donnie on Dancing with the Stars. Let me take a drink of water here.
Do you want any candy, Tom? I mean, you keep knocking as a trick-or-treater.
You know, I've got to be honest with you. One of the things that I enjoy more than candy at Halloween is the pleasure of dressing up in all of my fabulous outfits. That's one of the things at the Bergeron household that I truly enjoy, putting on all the different outfits for each trick-or-treater that comes to the door. And we get hundreds of them. It's wonderful. I have to step over here and try this new outfit on.
Okay.
Now, wait, let me get down behind. Hold on. Don't cue the music just
all right.
yet. I have to slip into this.
Changing.
Here we are.
So many costumes.
All right, I'm ready now. Hit the music, band leader. Tom Bergeron dressed as Willy Wonka. And what am I going to do? I'm going to manufacture my own chocolate bar for you on Dancing with the Stars. That's the little hook that I put it on in here. Yes, siree. Let's hope you find the golden ticket. Trick or treat.
How's Marie Osmond doing?
Marie Osmond's doing very well since her collapse. She had a very difficult time. It was her breathing after dancing. She was trying to talk. And she says that quite simply, occasionally, she forgets to breathe. And therefore, she went down like a sack of potatoes. It was very frustrating, but let me duck under the counter here and come up with this other outfit. I think you'll love this. Lady Godiva says trick or treat. Except for my blonde hair, I'm naked. I'm Dancing with the Stars. Very, very exciting. This is very nice. Halloween, my favorite time of year.
Obviously.
I have to take this out now and put this back on. I'm a hobo, inviting each and every one of you to taste my special hobo stew. I'll show you how I make it if you watch Dancing with the Stars. It's a great promotional vehicle. I've got to just simply take this off and put this back on. And
Tom, have you ever heard of a cat we had on the show many years ago named...
A cat?
The pumpkin.
Well, you've tipped my hand, Mr. Bandleader. Let me jump into my cat suit. There we go. Meow. Tom Bergeron as your favorite little kitty cat. Squeeze my right buttock and I'll scratch your eyes out. I'm Dancing with the Stars. What were you saying, Don?
Have you ever heard of a guy called the Pumpkin Picasso?
The Pumpkin Picasso. I think that what the Pumpkin Picasso was doing was he was actually carving phenomenal patterns in different pumpkins. Is that what he was doing? Famous all the way across the country. Isn't that true?
And I believe when Mike and I do our fake DJ voices, they kind of sound almost like yours in a roundabout way, Tom.
I don't think there's a phony bone in my body, but I think there is something in my body because I'm going to slip in right now to my very, very special outfit just for you.
Who's at the door?
Here I am, porn star Mary Carey. One in the front and one in the back. That's right. Airtight. I'm Dancing with the Stars. I love Halloween,
sure.
And I especially like a good round of ballroom dancing. That's what I really enjoy. And we really have to give credit to all these stars that work so very, very hard to work on all of the things that they do and get themselves in shape. And some of these people are not used to doing ballroom dancing at all.
Just say Pumpkin Picasso.
All righty. I need my band leader for it.
Oh, do you really?
Take a look at this. I hold in my hand another fine creation by the Pumpkin Picasso. Doesn't that look like S? I'm Dancing with the Stars. That's right. It's arrogance. It's enlightenment and lots of fun as we continue to play our Halloween games. I'm going to lean under here.
Is that Pumpkin Picasso guy still around?
Pumpkin Picasso guy. All right. I've got a new costume for you.
Why don't you be a love and try to book him on the show tomorrow?
Book him on the show, the fabulous Pumpkin Picasso. But before you do that,
let's see who's at the door trick or treat.
You better open the door. Trick or treat. It's me, Paris Hilton. What do you think? Do you like the blonde-haired wig? Give me candy, and I'll let you touch it. I'm Dancing with the Stars.
Tom, do you have your own grainy sex tape?
I have a grainy sex tape that I could make available to you. We don't want to diminish the brand name of Dancing with the Stars because so much effort and energy has been put forward into a fantastic presentation. As a matter of fact, let me bring in one of my colleagues who's one of our judges. Come on in. Hello. I'm dressed as Uma Thurman. You are so beautiful, I would like you to take your pants off. Kill Bill or kill me. We're going to have him leave now.
You're the British guy?
Yeah, get out of here. No, he's the other guy. All righty, here's my latest costume as I'm beginning to break a bit of a sweat.
Trick or treat.
Yes, trick or treat, I'm Venus, the love goddess. Tom Bergeron, dressed as the wonderful Greek goddess. I am violate my privacy. I'm sorry, the music ran out. Sometimes that happens when we're going to commercial break, especially the time when Marie Osmond hit the floor because she passed out. That was a very difficult time for each and every one of us, but I really enjoy changing in and out of these different costumes.
How many costumes did you bring today, Tom?
Oh, I can't even count. I couldn't even fit them into the back of my Mercedes-Benz. But I've got another one for you right now.
Trick or treat.
Yes, trick or treat. She was on your show recently. I'm talking about Eva Mendez.
Oh, wow.
How would you like to touch my tamales, mister? I'm Dancing with the Stars. What a fantastic afternoon this is.
Tom, all you have on is a lady's wig.
That's it.
Well, what it is, it's all theater of the mind. I was told that this was radio and that you were able to create some sort of an illusion here.
But
I wear one lady's wig, and I'm creating for your listeners the image that I'm continuously changing into elaborate Halloween costume.
Well,
is that somehow something I should not have done?
What's next?
All right, here we go. I'll take the wig off, and I'll put my male wig on. All righty. Hit it, Bill. Ah, trick or treat, it's Mr. Spock. That's right, the great Star Trek character. I bet you can make more than my ears point. I'm Dancing with the Stars. So much fun. I love Halloween. Can I get a candy bar from you for a little burst of energy?
Do we have a
I'll
treat?
Put my lady's wig back on. Hold on just a second.
Anything for Mr.
Actually,
Bergeron?
I'll take all the wigs off, and I'll change into another costume. All right, here we go. Open the door. Cue the band later.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat, Tom Bergeron. I'm saying I have a pack of cigarettes. Time for you to start puffing on Dancing with the Stars. That's my assertive read.
Now, that would be good if you actually were standing in front of me wearing one of those giant cigarette boxes where your arms and legs are.
I understand that, but you see, one of the things I've learned to do in my various Hollywood Squares or also America's Funniest Home Videos or also when I've done Dancing with the Stars, I've really made an effort to create theater of the mind whenever I do a radio interview, and that's why I can just keep coming with costume after costume, as I will
now.
Who's
at the door now, then?
Right. Who could it be?
Trick or treat! Hey, boo-boo, it's Yogi Bear. How would you like to look in my picnic basket on Dancing with the Stars?
Would you like some candy?
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
There's a York peppermint patty.
Oh, delightful. It fell on the floor. Now, yes, you're throwing them at me. I don't seem to be able to handle that, but I'll do that. Let me have a bite of this, and then I will actually work that into my next costume. So you can get the door, and I will put on a new head, and I'll be ready to go. Here we go. Are you ready? Trick or treat.
Let me hear the door.
Trick or treat. Bergeron. The crime dog.
What?
I have to start again.
Who are you?
I don't like peppermint patties. Tom Bergeron. It's Tom Bergeron. Open the door. Hold on. Tom has lost his composure. Tom has lost his composure. This is a good one. I want to do it. I'm all in costume, and I'm ready for the band to strike up the theme again. Trick or treat.
All right, trick or treat.
All right. It's me, McGruff the Crime Dog. Happy Halloween. I want you to take a bite out of me on Dancing with the Stars. I'm having such a great time. Don't you love Halloween? What are you going to be dressing as, Don Geronimo? I have another one.
Another one?
Trick or treat.
Let's see who's at the door.
Well, 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 it's me, Goldilocks. That's right, my long blonde hair and my lovely blue dress, completely shaved again. Wow. I'm Dancing with the Stars. All of my wonderful costumes. I love costume, and it's such a big part of what we do. And don't we all wear some sort of costume each and every day on Dancing with the Stars?
We've got to break.
We have to break? That's unfortunate. I'd love to come back with more of my fabulous costumes. You haven't seen me. Oh, Rob Spiewak writes, I'm a gay police officer. Cuff and stuff. That's my way on Dancing with the Stars. Many more where that came from, Donnie.
Really?
I love the posing, too.
I hope so,
the gay
guys.
Police officer flails his arms about and about.
Because there's a very good chance when we come back, we'll ring the doorbell some more.
That would be delightful. I'd enjoy that more than life itself. You haven't even seen my... Oh, good, I can change into it now. All right.
Well, let's see. Trick or treat.
I'm a mummy. That's right, a mummy, the classic horror figure. I hope you're scared as I am. I'm Dancing with the Stars.
Who are you?
I'm the mummy. I simply put my hands over my face to create the illusion to your listeners that I actually was wrapped in gauze,
bandages.
Like some of the sarcophaguses of the ancient Egyptian times on Dancing with the Stars. I'm enjoying this just as much as real trick-or-treating. Let me do it once again. Here I am. I'm going to sit sideways and put my shoulder at a jaunty angle as I say... Trick or treat and open your door because Tom Bergeron needs some candy at your door.
There's no one at home today.
There's no one. Hello? No one seems to be opening the door. I don't understand. Please just let me in. I've got a wonderful costume for you. And boy, it's been a busy week. What a schedule I have. Dealing with Wayne Newton and Soap Stars and Marie Osmond and all the wonderful people. No one's letting me in the effing door. Don't you know who I am? I'm Tom Bergeron. Jesus Christ! Oh, that's very nice of you. And as I put my lovely outfit on, you'll see that I am dressed as the Mona Lisa. Yes, look at my vertical smile. I'm Dancing with the Stars. I have to go out and change now.
Yeah, I wish.
Are you going to be coming back with more show?
We got another hour to fill.
Well, let me take you to break. Can I do that?
Oh, sure.
That's right. I'm Tom Bergeron. You've enjoyed Jim Nance and all the stories about horrible marriages. Well, there's more where that came from, and we'll have it for you next, right here on the Don and Mike Show, not Dancing with the Stars. How do you like that? Oh, F me.
Pumpkin Picasso.
The Pumpkin Picasso. Yes, he's a wonderfully talented. I was waiting for you to hit the button, but now I have to have another musical stager. They talk football. They talk marriage. They talk fun each and every day. And there's more for each and every one of you coming up on the Don and Mike Show. Now, I was ready. I was waiting for, may I hit the band again and say a special hello to my very favorite regular on your show?
Sure.
This is Tom Bergeron saying more coming up with Don and Mike, and a special greeting to my favorite man, Mr. Robert Adams on Dancing with the Stars. It's a lovely picture of him with his big hat and his lovely jersey on his jet ski on Dancing with the Stars.
Who are you?
Ah, I'm the self-loathing Tom Bergeron. All righty. Thank you very much.
Hello.
I'm Jim Nance with my CBS tattoo on my shoulder and my shirt off, nipples erect on Dancing with the Stars. I hate myself, too. I'm sorry. I got a little bit of a York peppermint patty caught between my teeth.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
My God. You're going to the news. That's right. Let me tease that for you, too.
Okay, go ahead.
He's got a crop of weed that would choke a donkey. I'm talking, of course, about the legendary Buzz Burbank. On the Don and Mike Show.
Donkey weed.
Uh-huh. Donkey weed.
Oh, is that another one?
Yes. I'm ready now. Cue the music, Jim.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. Rob Spiewak writes, I'm Indian chief. Keep him big love stick. I didn't like it either. I'm dancing with the stars. Thanks so much. I seem to be getting apoplectic right now.
Stand by, Buzz.
Stand by for news coming up on Dancing with the Stars.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm not happy. The Don and Mike
Show. Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
What's the word from Planet Crestbot?
We'll find out here.
Habla funny? Don Geronimo y Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, that's right.
Muy bueno.
Su día ya viene llegando.
Buzz?
Yes?
Just ahead of the news. Let me pod that down for just a moment to play this. We never got to our fantasy football results for week number 8.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the damn dummy league. Here we go. Joe Ardinger's Westies defeated my Lombardies 93-84.
Ooh, close game.
The Buzz Killers.
Uh-huh.
Beat Rob A, 89-62.
Dashing his hopes of running the table.
Michael Sean Patrick Tex O'Mara, 90. Former producer John, 79.
I am a 7-1 now.
And yeah. The big winner for the week, Matt the Pollock. His team, the effing asses, beat my son's team, the Fighting Drunks.
Wow.
109-96.
Ooh, that is a handy victory.
Here you go. In the dumb division, as Mike just mentioned, you've got the Americans at 7-1.
Would that be, by any chance, I haven't looked at it that much, would that be the best record in the league going away?
It's another pro.
Shut up.
Yes, Mike.
All right.
Followed by John the ex-producer at 5-3, uh-huh. Matt the Pollock at 3-5, and Bart at 2-6. In the dumber division, Joe is in first place, 5-3, tied with Buzz at 5-3.
Uh-huh.
I'm at 3-5, and Rob, who is not going to have his microphone turned on, is at 2-6. Thank you. Now,
one game
Rob, shut up.
How's that?
Shut up.
What?
Shut up.
I don't hear you.
Shut up. And we're not even going to spin the wheel of Holly today. We're just going to give you a little sample of Holly Morris.
Just a little taste.
This morning.
A taste of Holly.
On Channel 5. Just a little bit now.
Uh-huh.
Very good. With that, who's ready to go into the ghoulish garage? All right. Hey, listen, we're going to attempt that coming up in our next hour. Plus, we'll have some more magic from Eric. So stay with us as we are live this morning from the creepiest crib in all of the greater Washington area. It's right here in Rockville. Back to you guys.
All right.
All right.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Okay, Holly.
We'll spin the wheel of Halloween, Holly, as well tomorrow.
All right, Holly.
On the show. Now it's time for Buzz of the News.
Someone's at the door, though.
My apologies, Buzz. We got an early trick-or-treater, I guess.
Trick-or-treat? That's right, it's me. I'm back. Look at me. I'm a condom. If you're going to shag it, you better bag it. I'm dancing with the stars.
And now here's
Don't you like my condom suit?
Hi, everybody.
Happy
this
news,
is
Buzz.
The news.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate
That's Merrill
it.
Howard. Kayla. Isn't he wonderful?
Uh-huh.
Fabulous job. That's right. I'm going as inanimate objects now.
Wow.
That's it. Slightly off microphone.
I like that.
Isn't that right, Mr. Newsman?
That's right, Tom.
And here he is.
Oh,
time for another costume.
We got a motto during this segment. You snooze, you lose.
Well, I wasn't sure if Tom was
Trick or treat. That's right, America. I'm a colostomy bag. Who'd like to empty me? Should be fun. I'm dancing with the stars. I love Halloween.
Clearly. Hi, Don and Mike.
Jump in anytime.
Hi, Buzz, and now it's time for the news.
Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
I say this to everybody. It's your own fault for liking reality shows in the first place. Now, there are too many to count, most of them bad. And more reality shows appear to be in our future because of the pending Hollywood writers' strike. The strike could begin as soon as Thursday of this week. The first time you'd really notice would be next fall when there are no TV series, just wall-to-wall unscripted stuff. What could possibly
do you
go
care,
wrong?
Do you care that the Hollywood writers are going on strike? Well, is your burp a sign of indifference to
yes,
that?
It was a protest burp.
A protest burp.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Quoting one reality show producer, I was in a network meeting today, and they were referring to the fact that the timing is really good for reality producers.
Hey, I've seen some of the stuff. I read Entertainment Weekly magazine that the crap that they've got piled up now, in case there is a writer's strike.
Right.
Please, I'd almost say bring reality TV back. I mean, the sitcom ideas that I saw are so incredibly stupid. One of them is called, I know I take it back, it's a reality show called Farmer Wants a Wife. Mm. And it's one of those that when you first hear it, you think like, oh, it may be funny,
right,
but I'm sure it will suck.
Yeah, it'll suck.
And then one of the scripted sitcoms had Jeffrey Tambor playing a washed-up talk show host.
Ooh.
Obviously kind of trying to trade on the Larry Sanders thing.
Yeah, that, I don't know.
I read this article in the Entertainment Weekly magazine where they said this is what the networks have planned in case of a strike. And in every single instance, I went, oh, suck,
because we're so saturated with it already.
But don't come whining to me when House isn't on and they have some reality show on in its place. That's a scripted show, and you like that show.
You speak for the writers, right?
But here's the
I
thing.
Do.
When is this strike going, if it happens, it will trickle down and affect us, the regular viewers, when?
Next fall.
Will Dancing with the Stars still be on, though? I'm curious about
yes,
that.
Yes, no writing required.
Of course, there'll be plenty of that.
And tomorrow is promised to no one, so as long as the writer's strike is not affecting tonight's TV, I'm fine with it.
I understand. One of the writers,
thank God.
One of the writers in one of the Law and Orders has a four-year-old and another kid on the way, but he says he's willing to risk it all by standing up for what's right.
Oh, what a brave man he is. Let's make an erection to him. That'd be quite an erection.
In this case, Wright is giving the writers a piece of the profit when their work turns up on DVD and the internet. Their bosses say, not until we see how much profit there's going to be.
I'm always on the side of talent, and I guess the people that write the scripts are talented.
Yes,
absolutely.
They are. Yeah.
But it seems to me you reach a point when everybody wants to stretch that penny to the point where, okay, this guy gets this much and this guy gets this much. We live in an age now, doesn't everybody agree, where piracy and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where's piracy? Where's that?
Gracias.
Arg.
What happened to that say, Rob? Where's the piracy?
It did not make the cut.
Oh.
Oh, it didn't make. Well, never mind then.
There it is. Thank you.
Ooh! Arg! They're so worried about the nickel and dime stuff.
The writers or everybody?
Yeah, everybody.
Well, the writers want to get their taste of it. And it's not like they're not fairly well compensated now.
They want their money. The actors want their money.
Right.
The directors want their money. Then the studios are saying, we want our money. And furthermore, we're going to slice the pie even more. Mm-hmm. We're not going to put our stuff on iTunes anymore. We're going to start our own site. We're going to charge people our own money for our own shows. And then they're going to come and they're going to say, hold on a second. You got a new revenue stream now. We want a piece of that, too. How many ways can you stretch a goddamn penny? Mm. And all these shows that they write on TV, with the exception of two or three of them,
right?
Aren't they all really just boxes of shog dit?
Yeah, I agree.
I would say that about the reality
really,
shows,
I mean,
though, given the choice.
No, Buzz, hold on a second. Yeah. The show Back to You with Kelsey Grammer, which I guess is getting...
Did they finally cancel it?
And that got a full season renewal.
Oh,
yeah, it's,
God!
It's
let me just tell you.
Its ratings have been good.
My humble opinion, I would watch Deal or No Deal or Survivor before I watch a tired, old, same goddamn Chelsea Grammer going, well, I'm very snooty. And then Patricia Heaton goes, yes, and I'm the C word. Then they go, you're on the air. Hi, Eyewitness News.
That's right.
Yeah. Yuck.
What if they pay only for original ideas?
then everybody would go broke.
There are no original ideas in Hollywood, though.
That is true.
They'd all go broke.
But well, do you get what I'm saying?
I do. At I understand. Point, it's a legitimate
thing. No, you get frustrated about hearing the money thing I was talking about. It's even in sports when I was talking about the A-Rod thing the other day. I mean, it's just everywhere.
No.
And it's insane money.
And about that, Mike, I guess you were right about that.
Oh, you bet your ass I
that
was.
I saw that agent for A-Rod made a half-assed apology to the Red Sox, the Yankees, Major League Baseball. You're right.
And also Joe Buck and Tim McCarver. I mean, talk about missing the ball on that one. I mean, everybody, I know so many people that felt that way when that came on the fourth game of the World Series. They make their big announcement. And A-Rod, it's had an amazing backfire effect on A-Rod and his agent, Scott Boras, who I thought was a smarter guy than that.
Anyway, I was of the thinking that it was just Red Sox fans getting their panties in a wad, but it's like sports fans everywhere.
And you know, when you have a $250 million contract, and you're, you know, and they're everybody's saying now it's about the money. That's what it's about.
And that's kind of where, with the writer's strike as well, Buzz, if this is going to happen, goddamn, you know that with the studios in Hollywood.
And I'm not blaming the writers, though. I mean, what I'm saying is just, you know, spread the pie out a little bit. I mean, really, there's plenty of money to go around for everybody.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Right.
When you go to the studios themselves, they could certainly afford to say, okay, you're going to get a cost of living. We're going to give you a penny on every DVD. We'll give you a penny on every download.
It's so much money.
And
it's so much more money than the average American can even fathom, right?
Spread it around. They'd never notice it.
No.
It's the same money that these asses use on their corporate jets to fly around the world.
Or paying the stars, you know, tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars. I mean, it shouldn't come. Are you saying basically it shouldn't really have to come to this?
Right.
Shouldn't be this little spray. You know, are they really trying? And what it is the executives, the studios that are just trying to hold on to, you know, they're nickel and diming these guys.
Yeah, I agree. As it turns out, though, real life is very much like a reality show with a winning team and a losing team. Real life is very much like a genetic game of Survivor. Talk about your evolution theories, and we will when we return.
You know what?
What?
You're book smart. We'll be right back.
He's going to be right back?
Uh-huh.
I had another costume.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Look what I am now. I'm Heather Mills' artificial leg. It's about time on Dancing with the Stars. Pay the writers what they want.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
You're a goddamn genius.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
The Don and Mike Show.
We did something very bad.
Did you wreck the car?
No.
Did you raise the dead?
Yes.
But the car's okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, then.
I know it's going to be scary.
It's going to be really scary.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Wasn't that scary, huh, kids?
Surya ya viene llegando.
That's scary.
Wasn't that scary? Huh?
Suckle their knuckles. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Why, you mother-grabbing bastard!
Oh, it's time for Buzz.
What about weed? Is it going to be any weed?
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
How are you anyway?
I'm well. I think you're going to like this. A respected British evolutionist has made a projection about what lies ahead for us humans.
Looks like baby vomit.
If we make it another 100,000 years, Oliver Curry sees us splitting. the human race splitting into two distinct species separated by type, not color. One species would be a superior version of what we are now. The other would be goblin-like, small, ugly, and stupid. And although we'd both be the color of creamed coffee, the superior humans would be smarter, taller, and better looking. They would live longer.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
To be more specific, women would have large eyes, glossy hair, completely hairless skin, and breasts that never sag. Men's facial features would
The last one I like.
I like kind of the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Men's, well, not completely hairless.
Yeah. Yeah, good for you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks for not being gross.
Thank you very much. Men's facial features, according to this projection, would be symmetrical, their voices would be deeper, and they would be more like Peter North.
Oh, you mean bigger?
Peter North. Oh, my God.
Wait, mean to be able to shoot?
No, just
they'd have
bigger,
more.
Just bigger.
More stuff. Bigger.
Just, yes, a larger package.
Bigger packages.
Yes, to be specific.
The taller people would be, or yes, everybody?
The taller people. The
Not the goblins?
The more superior humans.
Pig
really.
Venus.
I don't know.
Pig Venus.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were talking about pigs for a moment. Curry, this anthropologist, evolutionist, says...
No, it's Pig Latin.
Exactly, I understand that now.
Huge heinous.
Curry says people are becoming more selective in their breeding, and that's what's guiding these changes, as well as the splitting of
passive
the
species. Passive meanness.
Erpelpay.
Oh.
Elbert Hay.
Igbay Allsbay.
Anyvay.
Do we get into trouble when we
no.
do Pig Latin?
No, we don't. Step away, Rob. You don't know the rules.
I was just looking at him.
I know, but he comes and he steps in that way like, hey, watch it. Watch it.
I'm here.
Step- I had nothing to do okay, with
it. Just step away. Step out of the line of fire. Out of the line of hot fire. Vain, you're so vain. Vain, vain, vain.
Viva,
viva, viva, viva, vain, vain, vain.
Exxon on a different vein. Oh, look, it's the door.
I'm sorry, Buzz. You got a trick or treat there.
It's that time of year.
Trick or treat. I'm Tom Bergeron, dressed as your favorite porn star, Peter North. Look how big I am on Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
Exxon may get out of
paying. Makes you want to hit the delay button, doesn't it?
Oh, more than anything. I hate comedy.
Itching.
He actually, Tom Bergeron told me he has a variety of porn stars that he'll be dressing as on Halloween.
Wow. Here's one now.
I'm sorry.
Trick or treat, I'm Ron Jeremy's unit. That's right, look at me, I'm smiling back at you. I'm dancing by the bar.
Veiny.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of veins.
Yes.
So no more on the goblins in the, because that was
No,
pretty...
that's the projection. Is it two species of humans, one tall, handsome, and smart, the other short, ugly, and stupid.
And of course, what will happen will be that the superior species will subjugate the lesser species.
Unless the...
No. Do your green goblin.
Hmm?
If we're going to turn into goblins, do your green goblin.
Green goblin?
Spider-Man.
Hello, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I'm a goblin, but I'm really Willem Dafoe.
Exxon may get out of paying $2.5 billion in damages to the people and businesses hurt by the oil spill of the Exxon Valdez. In the early 90s, Captain Joe Hazelwood of the Exxon Valdez drank some vodka and rammed his ship into the coast of Alaska, coating 1,300 miles of coastline with black, sticky goo.
Yep.
11 million gallons of crude oil. It not only messed up some animals, air, land, and sea, it wrecked people's lives. Fishermen, natives, landowners, small businesses, even whole towns. But Exxon says it should not have to pay $2.5 billion to those people. Well, Exxon says it can't be held responsible for Captain Joe's condition, especially since somehow the captain was acquitted of the drunk boating charge.
That was not funny.
No, it wasn't. But Exxon says it's paid enough in the $3.5 billion it spent cleaning up the mess. And now the Supreme Court says it will consider these things and possibly let Exxon off the hook.
Are you calling him Captain, like Captain Crunch?
I am.
C-A-P apostrophe N.
Captain Joe Hazelwood. That's right.
Captain Drunky Drunk.
Captain Joe. Exxon's the world's biggest oil company with a profit just last year of $39.5 billion. It would have to give up nearly a month's worth of profits to cover the rest of the damage.
You know, that's when we get back to the whole thing about money, like mm-hmm. with the writers yep. and the studios. At some point, you look at something that somebody nice, who just gave $1 million? Somebody just gave.
It was a race car driver, wasn't it?
Oh, Jimmy Johnson gave $1 million to the wildfire relief fund.
Oh, that's right. We just heard about that.
And you look at that and you go,
I think it was $100,000.
That's extremely, whatever
amount. Maybe it was $1 million.
Whatever amount. And some celebrity recently gave $1 million.
Yeah.
You look and go, well, that's incredible. That's a drop in the bucket for them. And then Bill Gates says, well, he's going to do something. Mm-hmm. Seriously, Bill Gates has enough money right now.
Mm-hmm.
If money solved problems,
mm-hmm.
he could really solve the world's problems.
I think about the world's problems, which I think all come from the fact that you look at the areas where the trouble comes from, and you look at the conditions, and you say to yourself, you know, when you're dealing with how many billions of dollars does Exxon make in profit?
Last year it was 39.5 billion.
I'm all for capitalism.
I am too, but I think there's a limit to it.
At some point, you might just say, you know,
it's crazy.
Listen, $300 million profit. You know, we can do maybe we can make buy on $295 million.
Yeah. And out of that profit, I would love to know, and I think a lot of Americans would love to know, out of all that profit, you know, where is it going? And is it really going back into developing new technologies, or is it, you know, is it going to the CEO's house?
Mm.
You know, you wonder about that.
Yeah. Who's that dude that I saw on TV today? Warren Buffett,
yeah.
Right? Jimmy's brother.
Mm-hmm. Berkshire Hathaway.
He was walking around his office having a good time. Now, he was doing this for TV,
uh-huh.
but he was walking up to the receptionist and saying, how much do you pay in taxes? And she's like an hourly worker.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, everybody in his office pays more taxes than he does,
yeah.
and he's like a multimillionaire.
Yeah, and he was complaining about it.
Really. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What, I mean, he's smart enough. He's a good philanthropist, too. I mean, he yeah, does yeah. give away a lot.
Number of
money.
Them are.
Mm-hmm.
Companies, not so much. Individuals, more so. Your boss will
yeah, but you got a guy like Bill Gates. That, uh-huh. That's what makes me nuts, because uh-huh. Bill Gates seems to be like a tree hugger. Bill Gates seems to be a pretty liberal guy who mm-hmm. wants to donate to make the world a better place. Bill and Melinda Gates.
He does more than a lot of companies.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I get that. But still, I get to the end of the day with him, like, he's sitting on a pile
mm-hmm.
of 80, put as many zeros behind it as you want money. You can't tell me that he couldn't just say, you know what, I'm just going to give 20% of my earnings to charity.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
huge.
He would still have enough money to wipe his butt with $1,000 bills mm-hmm. every day of his life.
Yeah, and you look and you listen to this story about Exxon, and you say, you know what, they've already paid $3 billion.
Yeah, $2.5 billion.
Out of their whole nut. And since that happened, uh-huh. if you added up their
profits,
not necessarily, you know, giving it away to the people that might have been suing them, giving it you know, to the people that can implement environmental strategies to mm-hmm. get the coast of Alaska back, I don't know, man. It's just it's nuts. And it gets back to what you were saying about the music industry when you really say, and it gets back to A-Rod. I think it's all tied into what you were saying before. Where, I mean, at a certain point, and you don't want to be anti-capitalism. I believe in capitalism, but how much
wouldn't you love
is
to see
enough, really, to solve maybe some of the great problems we have?
Let's be specific. Wouldn't you love to see A-Rod sign his contract, which will be for what, for $300 million,
mm-hmm.
and have him say, you know what? I'm going to give $10 million right up front to help rebuild New Orleans.
Right.
You know what that $10 million is to him?
Right.
Very seriously. It's the $20 that you and I have in our wallet right now.
Yeah.
It's $10 million that Alex Rodriguez will never see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's scary sometimes.
Very scary.
If I was richer, I'd do more.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
I'm not rich enough.
I understand.
There's that rich level
rich
that
enough.
You talk about when you're talking about, you know what you're talking about? These guys with contracts that are hundreds of millions of dollars. And in the case of Warren Buffett and also Bill Gates, you're talking about billions
yes.
of dollars. Billions. Billions.
And don't get me started on stupid Jerry Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want me to go see B-movie?
Mm-hmm.
Please, Jerry, who I'm about to want to strangle now from those HP commercials.
And the
right.
ads.
Where you have to promote your stupid wife's plagiarized book
yeah,
in
nice
the
that
HP
he was
commercials.
Nice that he was putting down the lady that accused her of plagiarism, too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find that credible, Jerry. Just in case, you know. Just in case you think you're smarter than the world, that your little snide comments you made on Letterman last night about this book,
mm-hmm.
I didn't buy it. If you're paying attention to that, Jerry Seinfeld, mm-hmm. I didn't buy the fact that she didn't plagiarize it. Yes, everybody has food, and people mash up vegetables. Mm-hmm. We're talking about specific recipes
yeah. you see,
going into your wife's brownies.
Have you seen the commercial I'm talking about for HP?
No, I haven't
where
seen
just
that
his
one.
Hands.
Yeah, yeah, it's,
and
it's
says,
like, and B-movie promoted, too.
Well, I'm Jerry, and, oh, yes, DreamWorks says you have to get 2 B-movie mentions here, mm-hmm. and there's my wife's book.
Right.
And it's all done with graphics, and I look at that and I say, I just read something last week that said, last year, he made $60 million
mm-hmm.
last year.
Mm-hmm. And you're looking at a commercial for a product that he gets paid to endorse while at the same time he's promoting the his wife's book, which he's going to make money on, that, and the movie that he's going to make money on.
And the TV show that he makes $60 million mm-hmm. a year for has been off the air mm-hmm. for 7, 8, 9, 10 years now, however long it is. I swear to Christ, I don't know how these people live with themselves. If I was ever blessed enough to be in that tax bracket, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to look myself in the mirror in the morning
right.
without saying, okay, if I'm going to go out and buy 20 Porsches today, mm-hmm. maybe I'll pay $20 a month to save some starving kids somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not rich enough.
Yeah,
if
just
everyone
seems to
would
me really...
just make me rich, uh-huh. I'll take care of everything.
And this doesn't just go to America. This goes around the world. And you wonder, really, where does all this crap come from? Where does this terrorism come from? I really think it comes, you know, you go and you see where the breeding ground is for a lot of the problems we have in the world.
Won't you?
I mean, it's amazing where these people live and the conditions they live in and, mm-hmm. you know, and the desperation, and that's where all this stuff comes from.
Would you please make me rich? Please make me rich.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Please.
All
can,
I would ask.
You
if,
can trust me.
Won't you?
I will. I promise I'll use most of the money to help people.
Very good. And if I hit the Mega Millions, and I do play the Mega Millions?
I would use a minimal amount on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
A minimal
amount. A little
amount.
Spending money.
That's right.
Sure.
It's a car.
The Pope's prescription for pharmacists and other stories when we continue.
Oh, look, it's the door. They got more trick-or-treaters, too? Jesus Christ.
Trick-or-treat. I'm Tom Bergeron, dressed as Bill Gates. Look what happens when I turn over and I poo. Dollar bills come out. I'm dancing with the stars.
Excellent notion. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Woo! Look out!
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Rude, thoughtless little pigs. Don and Mike.
Bom, bom, bom. Check out our website if you get a chance. Bom, 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 bom. DonandMikeWebsite.com. Bom, 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 bom. Jim Nance's picture's up there right now.
Can get you sleep.
Here is Buzz Gurdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Buzz has on a layered look today.
Right.
T-shirt and like a long T-shirt underneath.
That's right. All the kids are wearing.
Sexy.
Thank
Buzz
you.
Is kind of a hippie. Berkeley, California, hippie swinger, Malibu. Uh-huh.
I love it when you do men at work.
Maui, wowie.
So do I.
Buzzy, wuzzy.
The Pope is telling pharmacists not to hand out condoms or any other birth control product, including the morning after pill.
Yeah, it's a very bad business.
There he is.
I'm Pope Ratzenberger.
That's right.
Hey there.
Oh, it's a ghost. There's a ghost here. It's Halloween. There's a ghost. It's John Paul, JP2. How you doing? Who do you like? Who do you like in the big game? Patriots, Colts there, Pontiff. Original.
I am flesh and bone.
Not anymore.
Just a man.
I am just a big floating Enos Pay. I am the Ope Enos Pay.
That's the ghost of Pope John Paul. Comes to me in my dreams.
That will be the name of my book, incidentally, when I rewrite all of our religious beliefs into one easy-to-understand concept for everyone.
Uh-huh.
The Pope has a penis.
Ah, very good.
Because he's a man, just like us.
I look forward to reading your tome.
He's a man in a funny hat,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and yet we treat him as if he's God's choice.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a man with a penis.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
How you doing, Ratzenberger?
Yeah, doing okay. Sometimes I can't see it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, you're getting heavy.
Yeah, getting a little heavy. Got a little beer belly, a little German beer belly.
Putting on some weight.
Yep.
Speaking to a convention of Catholic pharmacists, the pontiff said their bosses would just have to understand their conscientious objections. Objections to, quote, products that have clearly immoral purposes. There have been lawsuits lately from pharmacists who do object to being ordered by law or by their employers to dispense what their conscience or their church won't let them. Joey Buttafuoco's old friend Amy Fisher, the Long Island Lolita, as she was known, is apparently the latest star of the latest sex tape.
Ooh.
The one she and her husband made earlier this year before they filed for divorce.
I'd look at it.
It's now in the hands of a Los Angeles porn distributor, and Amy Fisher is not happy about that.
I don't know if I would watch it. No, I take it back.
Yeah, I'd take a peek.
I'm curious.
I'd take a peek.
I watch animals having sex on the National Geographic Channel. Of course I'd watch that.
Man, there's so much good stuff there. Thank you for telling me to get that good dish. all of it in beautiful high def.
Uh-huh. High def. I especially love watching, what animal is it? It's an insect that while they mate, one of them lives and one of them dies, and the one that lives eats the other one.
Praying That's the CBS vice president.
Hey, and what's going on at CBS? The stock was up $5.
Mm-hmm.
Something tells me this company's about to be sold or something. Our heads are about to roll.
I've always hoped that we would be sold to China.
Based on the strength of a really good show yesterday, that's what did it.
Amen.
Get out of here, would you?
So once this divorce began, then this sex tape turned up in the hands of an L.A. porn distributor. Amy Fisher, very unhappy about that, and she's not a woman you want to make unhappy.
The Long Island Lolita.
As a teenager having an affair with Joey Buttafuoco, Amy ultimately shot Joey's wife in the face. Red Light District Video hopes to start selling the home video next month.
Oh, in time for Christmas.
And finally, you know you're drinking too much when... The whole family's on the sauce. In Northville, Michigan, a man was stopped for DUI, and his 12-year-old son was with him at the time. Mom had to come pick up the boy at the police station, and then she was arrested for DUI.
If you don't have education, then you can't hardly get a job.
Kid's been turned over to relatives till all this comes up in court. You know you're drinking too much when the hangover lasts 7 months. In Scotland, a man walked into an emergency room last fall with wavy vision and a month-old headache.
No!
Doctors checked absolutely everything, ran every conceivable test, and they were stumped until they found out by talking to the man that he had drunk 5 dozen pints of beer in 4 days after a fight with his wife.
Gracias.
It took 6 more months of treatment for the hangover to go away.
Buenos dias.
Oh, my God.
I'd rather...
It could happen to you.
Oh, my God.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
All those years, Buzz, and you finally got Mike. You finally got a story that's got him upside.
I'm scared S-less.
Well, don't drink 60 pints.
Upset, I should
all
say.
Right. Stop at 59.
Right.
We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with our spooktacular.
Yay.
Until then, safe home. Good day to you, sir.
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 And head.
Amy Lynn was an executive Getty, and I said, Amy, shut the cabinet.
You win.
I don't have any tonight. Marilyn Chambers.
I had her last week.
Oh, you had her last
Jenna
week.
Jenna Jameson.
Ah.
I'm dancing with the stars.
Someone's at the door.
Again.
Trick or treat. I'm a Pope's penis. A funny concept to leave you with as Don and Mike say goodnight to all of you. And please, watch Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Night, Tom.
This is the Don and Mike Show.